The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Thursday, October 29th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, an investigation is underway in Philadelphia after police found explosives and other suspicious cargo inside a van at Logan Circle on Wednesday night. Police recovered propane tanks, torches, and possible dynamite sticks from the van. The bomb squad is investigating. There is no immediate word on who owns the van or if anyone has been arrested. The discovery comes as the city remains on heightened alert following nights of unrest stemming from the death of Walter Wallace Jr. City officials say at least 200 businesses, many of them already struggling in the midst of the pandemic, were the targets of massive looting across the city. To assist police, an undetermined number of Pennsylvania National Guard troops will soon be arriving in the city. Their role, first and foremost, will be to safeguard property and prevent looting, said Mayor Jim Kenney. Officials announced that what started out as a peaceful protest of about 1,000 people at Malcolm X Park Tuesday night turned very violent against police. Police say bricks and even blood was thrown at the officers. 23 officers were injured, which raised question on whether or not they are allowed to use pepper spray and tear gas when they are under attack. Officers still have the discretion to use the OC that they carry on them, said Philadelphia Police Commissioner Danielle Outlaw. When it comes to using tear gas on large groups, obviously I make those decisions, she said. The police union called for the release of the police body cam footage, which they say will show that Walter Wallace Jr. failed to drop the knife as he was ordered repeatedly to do so and instead lunged at officers with it. Commissioner Outlaw says they want the Wallace family to get the facts first. We will be meeting with members of Mr. Wallace's family to ensure that they get an opportunity to view the materials first, she said. Police have arrested multiple individuals in connection with looting activity along City Avenue on the Philadelphia-Montgomery County line. Two men and one woman were apprehended for looting a Rite Aid sometime after 10 o'clock in Philadelphia's Winfield section. Police say one of the suspects may have been armed. Shattered glass and merchandise could be seen on the ground outside of the main entrance of the store. Police say three people were taken into custody, one of whom was armed after breaking into a mobile store and the Lord and Taylor along City Avenue.
They said there was like a caravan going up and down, like a bunch of cars. A quick question on that van that they found. They said that they thought that might be used for blowing up ATMs. Did they find out whether there was a connection?
Not yet. Okay, I mean, at least the report that I read, they didn't say they're not sure. They don't know who owns it. But they're still investigating it.
So I drive past the Lord and Taylor on my way into work, and when I was coming in, I saw a police SUV pulling into the shopping center, and it had like a bunch of giant 2x4s that were coming in through the window. And then when I turned down Belmont, there was another police SUV that also had a whole bunch of 2x4s that were coming out.
To board up the windows?
I guess so. Yeah, but they were just 2x4s. I didn't see anything else.
So, Steve, police said that the suspects had been driving up and down City Avenue waiting for the perfect moment to hit the store. So that's what they were doing.
All right.
There were also reports of people trying to break into Target. The looting follows nights of unrest stemming from the death of Walter Wallace Jr. An investigation continues into the shooting incident. Police say the looting must stop. However, Philadelphia Police Commissioner Danielle Outlaw, who has promised transparency and a comprehensive investigation into Wallace Jr.'s death, said the burglary and looting to area businesses serves no purpose whatsoever.
Yeah, they deserve to go to jail. They're stealing.
A citywide curfew was issued for Philadelphia following two nights of protests, unrest, and the looting. The curfew went into effect at 9 p.m. and expired at 6 a.m. today. Residents are being urged to stay inside during that time. Grocery stores, restaurants, and pharmacies may choose to operate delivery services only past 9 p.m. The Pennsylvania State Police Mounted Patrol Unit gathered in Center City, while Philadelphia police officers lined up outside the 18th District headquarters at 55th and Pine Streets to enforce the curfew.
A quick question, or more an observation, I wonder if we're supposed to have very rainy weather tonight.
I think it's going to put the cap on it. And if you get a few days distance away from the spark point,
tends to quell the flash point,
I would guess and hope that'll calm things down. It's going to be getting colder. It's going to be rainy. So I think that's going to be at least somewhat of a deterrent, but we'll wait and see what happens.
A handful of protesters were arrested outside of the 18th District. Police say they refused to leave for the curfew after receiving several warnings. Ahead of the curfew, Governor Tom Wolf signed a proclamation of disaster emergency for Philadelphia. Philadelphia. Wolf's proclamation authorized state agencies to use all available resources and personnel to help Philadelphia deal with the continued unrest. Businesses in neighborhoods throughout the city boarded up Wednesday ahead of the curfew. Walter Wallace Jr.'s father said the looting does not honor his son. Philadelphia is using roving teams of officers that specialize in responding to looting calls. Commissioner Outlaw said the curfew is an additional tool. In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Eagles continue to get ready for their game on Sunday night against the Dallas Cowboys, and both teams had developments on the injury front. For the Eagles, Jalen Reagor, Dallas Goedert, and Jason Peters are no longer on the injury report and are good to return this weekend. For Dallas, Andy Dalton did not practice yesterday, and because of concussion protocols, may not be able to until the end of the week. Several reports say third-string quarterback Ben DiNucci may be starting for the Cowboys. In Thursday night football, the Atlanta Falcons will travel to play the Carolina Panthers, and kickoff is set for 8:20. And at Subaru Park in Chester last night, Philadelphia Union won again.
Wow.
Beating Chicago Fire 2-1. Kasper Prisbilko and Corey Burke each scored one goal to lift the Union to the win. The Union improved to 13-3-5 for 44 points and moved to 8-0 at home this season. They only have two matches remaining in the regular season, and next up is one in Columbus on Sunday afternoon against the Crew. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. We welcome you to a Thursday morning. We're happy about that because the week is zipping by. We do have a guest on the show today, and it's one of our favorites, Adam Ferrara. Will be on. He's going to be performing at Soul Joel's in Rofo tomorrow night. So the weather looks like it's going to cooperate. It's going to be cool. It's an outdoor thing, but he's the best.
He's great.
We just love him to death. Yeah. So we'll spend some time talking to him a little bit later on this morning. We have a new Daily Rush video that's available for your consumption. It is Steve's new movie pranks. It says, Preston doesn't know that Steve is an amateur screenwriter.
Oh, okay, I remember this.
Is this the film description?
It's when they provided like half a sentence for a film synopsis.
Yeah.
Okay. And Preston always reads the movie to give you an idea of what the movie about. It was almost like Man Goes Into Room.
Right.
And I'm like, what the hell is that? So I fleshed it out.
All right, so the Daily Rush video is up. You can watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar. And you know what? We're going to continue a series that we started a little while back and we took a break from, and I think it's time to return to it. I think it was Nick's idea to get back on board with this, and I love it because we got on a conversation the other day about going for a massage, and we were talking about happy endings.
And the debate, when did happy ending become the accepted term?
And we were thinking out loud that, wow, I'm sure that massage therapists have seen a thing or two. So it's a return of Confessions of. And we've done it before with people who, you know, like in cable installers and people who work in the medical industry. And we felt that there are certain professions that lend themselves to, you won't believe what I saw or heard at work. And we started getting texts from massage therapists that were concurring with, yes, I do get asked or get joked about the happy ending thing pretty regularly. But I bet there's a lot of other interesting stories. So we'd like to hear those stories later on if you work in the massage therapy industry. And we'll open it up to other ones from time to time.
Yes, I love this.
We'll highlight a profession and we'll do confessions of. So if you are in the world of massage therapy or you know someone who works in that industry, let them know. We're probably, I don't know when we'll do it, maybe the 8 o'clock break, something like that.
And we can keep you anonymous and I can electronically alter my voice.
Oh, good. So electronically alter his voice.
Yeah.
We just won't say your name.
Right.
We've asked for years to find a way to alter people on the phone's voices and they've never been able to figure it out.
I'd say a good 15 years.
Something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, you don't have to reveal who you are, but we would like to hear your stories. So that will be coming up a little bit later on this morning. But in the meantime, business as usual. We're getting ready for the Camp Out for Hunger. That is looming above us at the 16th of November, so it's just a handful of days away.
Oh, my God.
And we want you to be on board with that. So if you haven't gotten the details about it, you can go to WMMR.com and find out all about how you can participate because we have, the Philatrunk event that's coming up with the Porsche Club and all the other car clubs, and we want you to participate in that. I heard Brent Porsche teasing that this morning. So just peruse the website when you get a chance and, of course, stop by your local Acme and make a donation. We're going to take a break, come back in a second. We'll get the entertainment report with the stupid question. All that good stuff is coming up next. We'll be right back.
WMMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, let's see if we can get a winner for a Doors Morse Notel 50th Anniversary Deluxe Edition digital download, and that is the stupid question prize. So the question that I have for you this morning, in 1991, who became the first actress to win an Oscar for Best Actress in a Horror or Theater Film? Or, I'm sorry, Horror or Thriller Film.
Oh.
215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer to that. 1991, who became the first actress to win an Oscar for Best Actress, and it was for a role in a horror or thriller film. You could categorize either one of those. So let's see if you know the answer. 215-263-WMMR. Thursday, October 29th. Birthdays today include Richard Dreyfuss. He is 73.
I was just watching again, you always talk about the YouTube hole, Preston. I was watching an appearance he made on a show. It was in, I think, Ireland. Mm-hmm. And the daughter of Robert Shaw happened to come down. And he is so emotional to meet the daughter of, and she was in the audience because they worked together on Jaws.
Yeah.
And he relays these incredible stories about Robert Shaw and the larger life thing. And Jaws, obviously a pivotal movie for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's really great on a talk show. He has lots of stories. And this, too.
He was great. And,
that's a clip from Jaws.
Yeah. It's more about Bob, but so great. I remember a story about Jaws that he told when they're in the boat at night and they're singing Show Me the Way to Go Home.
Right. That
Robert Shaw decided that he would actually drink alcohol while they were doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he got hammered. And it made it very difficult to film the scene.
Because obviously he was a drinker to begin with, but he exceeded it by many levels.
Yep. So Richard Dreyfuss, 73 years old today. Happy birthday, Richard.
And what about Bob?
That's his way of saying happy birthday. So one more time, if you wouldn't mind, Casey. That's him trying to get Bob out of bed, right?
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's him getting out of the car.
That's him get out of the car. Yeah.
That movie, you know, that's an example of a case where the tensions between the two leads make it really work. I was watching the Turner Classic Movies, and you've seen The Birdman of Alcatraz, right?
Yeah.
Well, Carl Malden and Burt Lancaster play adversarial roles. Carl Malden is the prison warden, and they hated each other.
Yeah,
you see it on screen.
Yep. Kate Jackson of Charlie's Angels.
She's a smart one.
And also Scarecrow and Mrs. King. She is 72 years old today. We also have Winona Ryder celebrating a birthday. And she made a nice resurgence in Stranger Things. I thought her career was done.
She's great. We were just giving away Beetlejuice, which is when she was still the fresh-faced kid.
You know what also I liked her in? Is an okay movie is The Dilemma.
Yeah. Yeah,
And she's cheating on her husband, Kevin James, and there's just the dynamics when she and Vince Vaughn are alone on a few occasions and they're talking about this thing.
Right.
She's great.
Yeah, she's really good.
Okay, because I watched Mr. Deeds over the weekend, and I was there watching it with my wife, and she was like, wait a second, I thought Winona Ryder was a good actress. No, so the thing is, I don't know.
She's a really good actress.
But in that movie, is she...
In what movie?
Mr. Deeds.
I don't remember. Where,
it really pushes her acting chops.
Well, listen, acting is acting, man, right? And each role is supposed to be as believable as the next, whether it's a comedy or a drama. It doesn't matter.
You thought she was bad, man?
Not until she brought it to my attention, and then I'm watching it, and I'm like, okay, well, she in the movie, she's acting like she's acting, right? Because
I never noticed. I always thought she was pretty good in it.
In the movie, she's acting like she's somebody else for Mr. Deeds.
Yes, she's playing a character she's not.
Right.
Yeah, okay, she's Babe Bennett, acting like the schoolgirl.
No, school mom, school teacher. Yeah.
School teacher
from a small town. She makes up on the fly.
Winchesterton. Field,
right, yeah.
School nurse.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I think that's why she's over-the-top bad acting as a school nurse.
So she's actually really good in that movie.
Sure.
As an actor.
There's
okay.
a 10-part documentary about this on Showtime.
Okay. Hey, Marissa, just so you know, everybody has got the wrong answer. No, never mind. I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it. I was just checking the validity of my question to make sure that was right. Okay, we're moving on.
All right.
Also celebrating birthday today, Gabrielle Union. She is 48 years old. Recently with the issues at what show?
America's Got Talent.
Thank you, America's Got Talent, yeah. But she's great in Bring It On, of course.
She wasn't that good in it, Preston. I felt like she was acting.
I know. The great Dan Castellaneta.
Yes.
His birthday today.
Do it.
Yep. Voice of Homer Simpson and a lot of voices on the show. Grandpa Simpson, Krusty the Clown, Barney, Groundskeeper Willie.
Hey, hey.
Mayor Joe Quimby, Sideshow Mel, and others.
You know, it's kind of weird. I think of Homer Simpson as being more real than Dan Castellaneta.
Yeah.
I know Homer Simpson better.
Yep. So, 63 years old today. It's Randy Jackson's birthday.
Whoa!
Today. Yeah. Randy Jackson of the Jackson.
Not
the guy who autographs Samurai Swords.
Samurai Swords. What's the only thing he had, Preston?
I still love that. Randy Jackson celebrates his 65th birthday today.
What was it? They all played instruments, obviously, in the band. What did Randy?
No, they didn't all play. They were mainly vocal. Well, you know what? Maybe in the earlier days, they did, Steve. You know what? Because
there were a couple guitars I saw.
I always remember. I thought Marlon was the guitarist, and then but that was later on.
Yeah,
earlier on when they were. When they were youngsters, and Diana Ross had discovered them, I think they did play the instruments.
Right.
But I don't remember who played what. Randy, 65 today. Peter Green, former singer and guitarist and founding member of Fleetwood Mac, but not this version of Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, okay.
It's the older stuff, you know, like Oh Well. Did he die?
Yeah, he just passed away. Yeah.
What am I talking about?
It was recent.
Okay. Well, he would have been 74 today. Denny Lane, I hope he's still alive.
Yeah, so is he.
Founding member of the Moody Blues and was also in Wings with Paul McCartney. He was like the other famous person in Wings besides Paul and Linda. 76, always liked him. Ben Foster, the actor, X-Men Last Stand, 310 to Yuma.
He's a really good actor. He's also in Hello High Water.
Which is not available for streaming on any platform now. Now if you want to watch Hello High Water, you got to pay for it.
I'll just go over to my Blu-ray copy of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's 40 today. Tracy Ellis Ross, the actress in Black-ish, is 48 years old today.
She's really good.
Diana Ross's daughter, right?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, when they were paying tribute to Diana Ross at one of the award shows, she was the one who presented.
We were just talking about Diana Ross. How about that? And then the last birthday I saw is Douglas S.A. Vincent Martinez. He is of 311, the singer and MC. So I guess he does the rapping portions of the
songs. And does the game shows that they run.
That too. Yeah. He's an MC. He's 51 today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. And in 1991, who became the first actress to win an Oscar for Best Actress in a horror/thriller film? And it's going to surprise you. I'm going to go to Brianna for the answer. Hey, Brianna, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
I love the consistency, though.
I'm okay with it.
Yes.
I'm all right with it. It sounded stupid, and I should be called out for it. Brianna, who won that Oscar that I speak of?
Kathy Bates
is correct. Yes, Misery. Most people were thinking Jodie Foster because that film came out in 1991. Misery came out in 1990, but of course they had the award ceremonies in 1991.
So the distinction of Silence of the Lambs is it's the only horror movie to win all four major awards.
There you go. Yeah. Exactly.
He didn't get out of the cock-a-doodie car.
We haven't heard that in a while.
No.
All right, so Brianna, we are going to set you up. We have The Doors, Morrison Hotel 50th Anniversary Deluxe Edition Digital Download with 30 songs, including 19 previously unreleased outtakes. A 2-CD, 1-LP set is also available, and that's in stores now, and that is courtesy of Rhino Records, rhino.com. All right, let's begin where we hate to begin, and that's with the Kardashians. But after Kim released a slew of photos from her week-long birthday bash at a private island. We touched on this a little bit yesterday. Fans noticed one notable absence, and that was her sister Kylie. And according to Entertainment Tonight, a source said Kylie was unable to attend the party due to work commitments.
She works?
This could be true, as Kylie has been busy with the release of a new leopard collection. with her makeup brand, Kylie Cosmetics, as well as an appearance in a Halloween makeup tutorial with YouTuber James Charles. However, Kylie did make some time for travel, enjoying a weekend getaway with Travis Scott and her daughter Stormy. Another absence at Kim's party was Kanye, who did not appear in many family photos. However,
he's campaigning.
Courtney posted a pic of him bike riding on her Instagram story on Tuesday. Now, it looks like there is coronavirus within the Kardashian crew. Khloe apparently caught the virus earlier this year, according to an exclusive clip of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
She caught it right in March.
We have that clip here. Yeah. Is that what you're gesturing to? All right, here we go.
Just found out that I do have corona. It's going to be fine, but it was really bad for a couple days. Vomiting and shaking and hot and then cold and the coughing. My chest would burn when I would cough. Let me tell you, that sh- is real.
So the clip begins with Kris Jenner expressing concern, and with Kim adding that they were anxiously awaiting the results. And then in self-recorded footage, what we have here, she talks about that.
How much do you think the producer said, listen,
we need one of you.
If you could get this. There's straws here. You just draw, and then if someone could get it, it would be awesome.
No, they went with Khloe because she has the most...
Oh, my God. Resilient. Yeah.
Yeah, she could fight it off.
She had Ebola.
Yeah. So she ended the clip with some positive words.
I can do this.
Saying we're all going to get through this. So she did indeed.
Just out of curiosity, what does she look like in the clip? Did anybody actually watch it? I wonder if she had, like, makeup on and...
Right, or if she really was
No, they toned down the makeup a little bit, like a lighter foundation, you know.
Okay.
It's a little rouge.
Yeah.
No, yeah, she had makeup on.
Was it her who said she was like, man, I got real low, and, you know, one time I even put a bullet in my mouth and the other guy spit it out? Wasn't that her, or was that the Incredible Hulk?
That was the Incredible Hulk. Yeah, it was a different one. Brad Pitt is single again, according to Page Six, after just 2 months of dating. Pitt and his girlfriend, model Nicole Patarolski, called it quits.
Is the German model?
I don't know. Yeah, yep, she's Germany. Yep.
Right.
However, a source says the relationship was never all that serious as it was cracked up to be, and that the two actually split a while back. Huh. This news comes after photos of Podorowski and her husband, Roland Mary, were leaving a restaurant in Germany.
Leave it to the husband to get in the way of a relationship.
I know. Ain't it a bitch?
You're not giving me enough time to be with my boyfriend.
A refresher here. She is in an open relationship with her husband. Which began the dramatic elements of their relationship. No word on Pitt about the end of the relationship.
Okay, I think at any point that Brad Pitt enters into your relationship with your wife, it then formally becomes an open relationship.
What are you
going to say to your wife when she says, listen, I have a chance to bang Brad Pitt? Yeah, go for it.
How handsome is this guy?
I don't know. Do you think he's Brad Pitt handsome?
Well, dude, he's married to this model.
It doesn't mean anything.
No, I guess you're right, but still.
He could be some sort of a frumpy German businessman.
So if you happen to catch the latest episode of The Bachelorette, you may have noticed the teaser, which appears to show Bachelorette Claire Crawley exiting the show, seemingly being replaced by the Bachelor contestant, and I don't know how to pronounce her name exactly because I don't watch the show. Tashia Adams, I think is how you say her name. I'm sure.
Is this the first African American?
Yeah.
Okay.
Her name is spelled Tayshia. But anyhow.
Where are you going?
But now.
Love you. Yeah. Tucker, I love you. Tucker, you're going.
The words get less discernible as it goes on. Now, Bachelorette host Chris Harrison is publicly acknowledging the incident, specifically the allegations by Crawley that she was forced off the show.
We knew this was coming, though. We were talking about this months ago.
But Harrison says Crawley had complete control of the season. It was about Claire and her decisions. It's her decision that you're going to see. Well, you saw, obviously, in Tuesday's episode, he says. I really put it in her court. Driving home.
What the hell is he talking about?
Driving home that next week's episode, which will air on Thursday the 5th due to Election Day, will truly give viewers the answer to their questions.
Okay, so I accidentally watched some of this on Tuesday night.
I love it when that happens.
Yeah, so I was watching, Jeopardy and then Wheel of Fortune, and then I got caught up in my phone, and next thing I know, The Bachelorette is on. And so this drama started to unfold, and I'm like, oh, this is a little juicy.
Right.
Right. So apparently in the previous episode, on a group date, the guys had to play naked dodgeball together.
Shut your mouth.
No, I swear to God.
What?
And so one of the bachelors, he's better than everybody else, was so appalled at this, right? And he's got a daughter, so yeah. he's got this crazy moral compass.
Doesn't want it.
Doesn't
want her to see that.
No.
I can't just see my penis.
Yeah.
So
I can't have my baby girl see my pee-pee.
So, Steve, he wasn't even part of this group date. He had just heard about it.
I will not be a part of this. Uh-huh.
So he sits
I got marbles.
He sits marbles. The bachelorette down and berates her about, you know, how this is beneath her. You're the oldest bachelorette in history.
You're so old.
And yeah. You should know better and you should... You know, this is so immature, and I am appalled. And so he started with that, and then he just kept going and going. Right. And then this chick, whatever her name is, she's Claire. I guess she's never been talked to like this, so she had had enough. Yeah. And so it just unfolded. But I thought the best part was after, like, the fight is over, they're walking away from each other in separate walkways, and he's still yelling at her, like, you know,
you're so stupid.
Yeah. But then the other bachelors, they see this, and Steve, it's like a whole bunch of, like, you know, roosters, like, what's going on here? Like,
yeah, but that's
you keep walking, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
You keep walking, bro. And I'm like, this is so dumb. They're all, like, posturing for her. And
they're posturing for the camera.
That's what they're doing. They're posturing for their music careers, their acting careers.
Yeah.
But essentially,
their celebrity.
At the end of all of that drama, it seemed like she had already made her mind up with who she liked. And it was this one guy who had.
Who she leaves with. We had heard about this before. That's why we heard there was going to be this early season shift.
Yeah.
Because she fell in love with one of the guys.
And I was like, I can't believe I'm actually enjoying this.
I know. It's ridiculous. It's dumb how fake it is, but some of it is compelling because of how dumb and how fake it is.
So they weren't playing naked dodgeball. They were playing shirtless dodgeball.
Well,
we were just seeing pictures. They were wearing shorts, but.
He said it was naked dodgeball. Right?
Yeah.
So maybe at some point.
Is naked when you have no clothes?
Strip dodgeball, like when you get hit with the ball, you got to take.
Is that what that is?
Maybe. No, I don't know.
You got to take your.
I didn't see the previous episode.
Your pantaloons off.
Preston got it right. It's strip.
Dodgeball. Strip dodgeball. Okay.
There you go.
That's actually kind of funny.
You should live tweet it next week, Casey. You should watch it again and sit down and
force yourself. Why are you making me do this?
Because it'd be funny because you don't like it.
But you can see this girl, whatever her name is,
Claire.
Like, Claire. As he's going on, she's like, oh, my God. Like, and, like, you can see the steam coming out of her ears, and she's like, this
Steve,
effing guy.
We're looking at this with no audio, and I'm hearing, I'm hearing that voice looking at his face.
You're better than that. I thought more highly of you.
What?
I thought more highly of you.
Okay.
If we have any postulation of making a commitment.
What?
Custom. You have marbles?
Yeah, you got marbles, I thought. I wanted a girl who was ethical.
What?
Ethical.
Okay.
Ethical.
Wait a second. Let me look. Yeah, ethical.
All right.
I got my Tyrannosaurus right here.
That's a thesaurus.
Hey, the producer, shut up over there. This right. is cold.
Let me move on to something. We will follow the excerpts just so we can get that stuff. All right. This is sad news. Lindsay Cornette, who was Crown Miss America in 1993, passed away at the age of 49.
The Miss America organization said in a statement, "We're devastated by the sudden loss in our Miss America family and are deeply sorry for her family and close friends for the loss."
I saw this. What did they mention what she died of?
Yeah, yeah. So there's been no official release, but an NBC News affiliate based out of her hometown in Jacksonville, Florida, reported that she died after she was hospitalized for a head injury.
Oh, man.
But I don't know what happened. A Facebook group called Linza's Circle of Love said she had sustained a serious head injury that required emergency surgery a few days prior and was admitted into the intensive care unit. So that's sad news. She was crowned Miss Florida in 1992. She had starred as Ariel in the Voyage of the Little Mermaid stage show at Disney's Hollywood Studios in Walt Disney World. After winning the title of Miss America, she appeared in several television series, including Saved by the Bell, The New Class, Grown Ups, The Tick, CSI Crime Scene Investigation, and Weeds. She had married former Home and Family host Mark Steins in 1995. So that's terrible news.
It sucks.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of an accident she had or what the, you know, extent of the head injury was. On to happier news. Emma Roberts said when asked if she was happy to be having a boy, she said, "Thank goodness." The reason why, she said, "I've been trying not to buy a ton of stuff because I love shopping. All I can say is thank goodness I'm not having a girl because the clothing situation would just be insane."
She'd go nuts.
So she's happy that they're going to have a boy and she won't be overdoing it with the clothing. But trust me, new moms, she'll go crazy with the boy stuff.
Regardless, anyway. Yeah. I mean, you're looking for an opportunity. You go, all that stuff out there, and they have more tchotchkes and things for kids than they've ever had.
Watching specifically women ooh and ah over baby clothes is hilarious to me because they're cute. I mean, the clothes are cute. That's all there is to it. They're tiny. Oh, my goodness, look at these shoes.
We don't have kids, and my wife still goes nuts over that stuff. Yeah.
The boy options are still way low, though.
Yeah, they're not. Not nearly what the girls have, but yeah, she'll still dive into it. In a recent interview with Naomi Campbell, actress Cameron Diaz opens up after her announcement that she is no longer acting. She said she's open to the idea of acting again.
I'm glad to see Naomi Campbell's conducting interviews because she seems like a people person.
I don't know what her story is or where she was interviewing her or what platform on, but apparently they had a sit around.
She's on LinkedIn, Preston. She has a show.
But Diaz said, "I mean, I never say never to anything, first of all, but I feel really resolved. So I got to believe she'll at some point."
At some point she will, but she seems legitimately happy. Like she's loving this. And if she takes a break, she can come back. I mean, she's got to have a nice nest egg socked away from those. Yeah. She's been in a number, just the Shrek movies alone.
Yeah, yeah. In a recent, I already did that. After the heartbreaking loss of her third child.
What are you talking about?
And nearly a month of social media silence, Chrissy Teigen posted an adorable video of her and her daughter, Luna. They were cooking. They put it on her Instagram story. Remember, she had just recently made some statements about the emotional trauma that she went through, obviously. But in the video, the two are making pancakes and roasted vegetables. Pancakes and roasted vegetables?
Sounds delish.
Wait, what?
Mom, can I have more broccoli on my pancakes?
What?
Is it like mushu pancakes? It might not be.
Maybe. It just says pancakes and roast vegetables, so maybe it was something like that. I tell you what my son made the other day, which, and you guys know I'm not big. I love pumpkin pie, but I don't go crazy over the pumpkin spice craze that started about 5 years ago or whatever. But my son Carter, we had some pumpkin pancake mix. Outstanding.
Really?
It was excellent. And Steve, I was eating them with no syrup, anything. We didn't need any at all. They were sweet enough. It was like
naked.
Yeah. It almost had, well, it didn't have quite the carrot cake flavor, but it almost had pumpkin pie flavor. But yeah, it was quite tasty.
Pumpkin pie.
Mm-hmm. He's still here.
Yeah. Do you know how to use that door over there? You just had to push harder.
No. Yeah,
just give it a little.
I was going to live here.
Okay. You just push harder.
Sarah Jessica Parker got emotional on Wednesday, posting happy birthday wishes to her 18-year-old son, James. Her 18th son, James.
Man, she's got a tiny frame for that many kids.
Writing, "My beloved son, James Wilkie.
You are my 18th and my favorite.
On this day, you are 18 years old. I marvel at the passing of those years, but equally the young man you are becoming. My love for you is an ache and an honor."
Wow.
"As you leap toward and into your future, I remain your privileged and steadfast confidant and joyful witness
to the year ahead.
This is the son she had with Refrigerator Perry, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
No, I'd imagine it's Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, yeah. No,
oh, Matthew.
No, Matthew Broderick.
Yeah.
That would be cool, though.
That would be cool, right?
Matthew McConaughey's day off.
Yeah. All right, all right, all
what
right.
What are you still doing here?
Yeah. You got to stop and smell the roses. So, looks like the talk host Sharon Osbourne is another victim of credit card theft.
What?
The star announced that someone rang up charges and maxed out Ozzy's card and my card. Detailing the incident more by saying, it's my Kelly's birthday today. I went out last night to pick up her gift. I gave my credit card, and they come back and say, do you have another card? Yours is maxed out. The story came after the ladies of the talk were discussing the recent burglarizing of Conan O'Brien's late night set. So I guess it happens to the celebs, too.
Yeah, that was wild. The Conan thing, because what they did is they decided to produce the show in one of these theaters that's on hard times.
Yeah.
So they did the and the thieves broke in and stole a whole bunch of stuff.
Yep. Writing the success of the recent reality show The Masked Singer, a spinoff is scheduled to air.
Please.
With host Chris Robinson, called The Masked.
Craig Robinson.
It says Chris Robinson here.
Yeah, but at the top it says Craig Robinson. Oh, that's okay. Weird.
Yeah. I was wondering. I'm like, the dude from the Black Crowes?
Yeah.
But Craig Robinson we love. He's
that
great.
That makes sense.
All right. So it's called The Masked Dancer.
Oh, wow. Now we're dancing
now
with
that's going to be great dancing with a huge piece of fruit on your head.
Celebrities in disguise will show off their best moves, complete with elaborate costumes and celebrity judges.
They're going to get killed. But if they're wearing masks like the ones that they're wearing in The Masked Singer.
I bet you it's not going to be like that. It'll be some sort of, like little thing that goes on the face, although you...
Yeah, like
still, what are you going to do?
No, they might do some... Steve showed me his mask that he's got for Halloween. Yeah. They might do, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And make it close to the face.
Here they're tangling now.
That could possibly be good.
You know it won't. No, but they're like The Masked Singer last night, big reveal, Preston. Do you have that there?
I saw it and I skipped it. Who was it?
Wendy Williams.
Shut up. Really?
Yeah, she was one of them on the way to the winner. But
yeah,
she was lips,
right?
Apparently. I love when they do the recap. Fettuccine sang this song. Doorknob sang this.
I can't believe that Wendy Williams would spend her time doing that. She's such a diva.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? That could lead, if you're saying, okay, maybe that led to her being so tired on her show where she had that incident where she was incoherent.
Yeah, makes sense.
Like the normal professional that she always is. Mm.
Let's see, just two more quick stories. In a not-so-surprising announcement to the long-aired reality show Big Brother.
Let me take a look at it.
I think it's supposed to be long-aired reality show Big Brother.
Let me take a look at that.
Here, see it?
Borg Bribbit,
yes. So, no, Big Brother has been renewed for a 23rd season with host Julie Chen Moonves slated to return.
That show is... It's so formulaic, I can't take it.
I stopped watching it after like the second season. I'm like, okay, done it, seen it. I'm done with it, you know?
Everybody breaks off into their sort of predetermined character roles. There's the upstart, there's the racist, there's the whatever.
Yeah.
And everyone's got their thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it all plays out the same way.
Yeah, there's the innocent,
all
the troublemaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. So, 2 decades after its premiere, the show continues to be...
It seems so fake.
...one of television's top-rated summer series. Wow.
I'm amazed she sticks with Moonves as her last name.
Yeah, because he cheated on her big time.
Yeah, well, yeah, big scandal.
All right, and then one last story. Reese Witherspoon might have some political ambitions. The morning show actress spoke about possibly running for political office one day on Monday's episode of the Smart Less podcast after co-host Jason Bateman told the Oscar winner, I think you'd get a lot of the vote. After co-host Bateman, Will Arnett, and Sean Hayes told Witherspoon she could become a senator, the actress said that the role in government is not entirely off the table. She said, I wouldn't say never because I don't know where I'm going to be when I'm 65 or so. But she said, I think we do need better representation and balance. The mother of three explained, she said, women are 50% of the population, but
we're not 50% of the representation in government, which is bizarre, particularly when they're educating over our bodies. So she's not coming out and saying, I'm going to run for office. They asked her if she ever would, and she said, well, I can't say no. Who knows where, someday I might want to do that. She went on to say that women have different relationships to power, citing her production company, Hello Sunshine, which employs women in the majority as an example. So you never know. We're ready for clips. Aaron Sorkin, mostly known as a screenwriter, is now making a name for himself directing, and the trial of the Chicago 7 further illustrates that. In this clip, star Frank Langella talks about his initial interactions with the rest of the cast.
The original plan I made with Aaron was that I would never speak to the rest of the cast. But on the very first day, instead of being on camera, I was off the entire day. And by the time the day was over, I was in love with every one of these guys. So I really became friends with every one of them.
You sound insane.
The trial of the Chicago 7 is available to watch on Netflix.
Who's he playing?
The judge.
Know. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
As in, here come to judge?
Here come to judge. Here's the next clip. The success of Walking Dead sparked yet again another spinoff to the hit TV series, and this time, The Walking Dead World Beyond. In this clip, star Julia Ormond explains why she thinks fans keep coming back for more Walking Dead content.
There's something about the fact that it's epic and intimate. I think really good story is often about the fate of someone's soul. When you have a turning point in a character, so you have stories told structurally in terms of this, often that moment where a character is isolated. The most interesting times with characters is their flaws. You have that in abundance in every episode of Walking Dead.
Oh, shut up, woman.
new episode of The Walking Dead World Beyond premieres Sunday night.
Are you watching
AMC?
It?
No. I thought you were talking to me.
Yeah, no, I'm like two episodes in. I thought it was going to be something different. But, right. So the first episode was, oh, okay, here we go. This is something different. And then they took these people and they put them outside of these safe confines. And I'm like, oh, it's just the same thing with different characters.
All right.
But they're all going to sort of like weave together. And so
I'm a big dance number.
Yeah, I'm kind of.
It'll be like the end of Slumdog Millionaire.
Let me know when that happens because I'm in.
Let me ask you a question. What perspective would you like to see in that series that hasn't been shown yet? I mean, have they shown...
I want the flashpoint.
Like, I would like to see that.
Yeah.
Or the government's perspective as things are falling apart.
Right.
And what they're trying to do to contain it.
You know, I'd like to see another country, maybe.
Okay.
I mean, they went into Mexico a little bit in Fear of the Walking Dead. Yeah. No, but I'd like to see maybe Europe, you know?
So they've never shown the flashpoint. I remember I watched the original Walking Dead series and, he wakes up and it's happened.
And then Fear the Walking Dead, they take a very, so they start with a very sort of systematic, people are still walking around and there's a crazy guy in the backyard over there and you're getting that. I would like to see where it happened. The Stand, where it originated,
They still, they've never explained exactly.
No.
Was it a government experiment gone wrong? Was it a virus? Was it,
They did make it to the CDC in
Walking Dead. And then when they were at the CDC, they discovered that everybody has it. You don't just have to be bitten by a zombie in order to become a zombie when you die.
You become a zombie.
When you die, you become a zombie. So at some point, that happened to the entire, at least as far as we know, the entire population of the Americas, or at least North America, South America, Central America.
Because I'm wondering if it was something extraterrestrial.
Right. What kicked it off?
Yeah.
Was it like those seeds that we were being sent from China?
But you're right, Press. In Walking Dead, Rick Grimes gets shot. He's in the hospital. And at some point while he's cold, it happens. But in Fear of the Walking Dead, you do see it unfold in real time.
Well, tell us what happened. We want to know about it. All right.
Right.
see? Even idiot agrees.
How did it happen?
Yeah. All right. That's what I have for you in the Entertainment Report. We're going to have Adam Ferrara on the show this morning. Adam's coming to town tomorrow night. He's doing a show at Soul Joel's Comedy Club. It's an outdoor venue in Rofo. And also, we're gonna fire this up. We had talked about, we've done this in the past, and we kind of took a rest from it for a while, but Confessions of A, ... And then we pick a profession, and you call in, you tell us the stories behind your job. interesting, strange, weird things that have happened, secrets that people don't know about it, things that people should know about your industry and maybe don't. Today we have chosen massage therapists. We got started on this with a conversation about happy endings.
Right.
And how legitimate people at even medicals and spas locations may get asked for a happy ending from time to time.
Right.
So anyhow, we're going to ask for your calls a little bit later on if you work in that industry, maybe about an hour or so from now. So we will explore that. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. Make sure you stay with us on this rainy Thursday morning.
Acme Markets proudly supports Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger, beginning Monday, November 16th at Xfinity Live inside the Wells Fargo Center complex. More this year than most, we really need your help to make Camp Out a success. You can make a difference right now. Visit your local Acme during October and November and make a donation at the register when you check out. Acme will ensure your generous gift goes right to Phil Abundance to purchase food that's a lifeline for area families in need. Go to WMMR.com for complete details and a list of especially needed food items. Camp Out for Hunger from Acme Markets and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
So we're going to take another run at a game we came up with. We played it a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week. But anyhow, it is the Battle of the Self-Proclaimed Experts.
Yes.
And we took it out for a spin for the first time by having two people that claim to be experts in the world of the Rocky franchise. We had two great competitors.
They were well represented, obviously. Their knowledge was extensive.
So we're going to move on to a new category, and we're going to look for people who feel that they have an expertise in this category. And you can go to PrestonandSteve.com, and you can sign up to be one of our contestants. We'll try to execute this next week, and we wanted to choose something once again that we're passionate about. And if we keep doing this, it'll go all over the place. There are many different categories that we can throw out there. This time around, we are doing the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Whoa!
MCU.
We're going hardcore now.
Yes. So if you and obviously we have spoken about this realm on many occasions.
And this goes across, there are obviously men, women, children, older, younger, massive,
yes,
massive fans of this incredible series.
So I don't know what prize we'll have yet, but we'll get something good together.
Crash Bandicoot.
Okay, part four. Yeah. No, but this is mainly for bragging rights. So
yes,
if you deem yourself to be an expert, not the comics, but the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and that includes all the movies in that realm. And I think we'll just stay with the movies. How about
just
that?
Because we would be...
The TV shows, we'd get killed. It's too much.
Just the movies. And there's more than enough within the movies.
Yes. So, if you think you know a thing or two, then go to PrestonandSteve.com, get signed up. We will go through the entries, and we'll find two that speak to us. That's just the selection process we're going
to
use.
And sell yourself to us, and also be aware... This is a real competition. You can't just have a passing knowledge or be a minor fan. You've got to be up on your game.
Yeah, like you feel like you're an expert.
Yes.
That you can take on anybody. So those are the people we're looking for. And I haven't told them yet, but I think we need to enlist the comic book gurus.
That's the one source we can rely on.
Come up with our questions.
Yeah.
Craig Ligon's, Rockstar Rob and company to help us out with this.
That way, if there's any errors in the questions, it's their fault.
It's we can all put it on them. Their fault.
But listen, they won't have any errors.
No.
They're savants when it comes to that stuff. So,
yes, incredible.
And check out their podcast if you're a fan.
Can I make one quick Marvel side note? I watched the studio reaction the other day of Cap getting the hammer and everybody coming back. Spoiler alert! And I so miss being in the theater to have experiences like that. And the Marvel experience in the theater for stuff like that was the best, I think, movie theater experience I've ever had in my life. I know, Kathy, you hate or bristle when we say things like this, but it was emotional. Like I got teary-eyed just watching the people get that excited again.
I love, sometimes just watching the shots of the audience react is part of the deal. I'll say this, we will get back to that at some point, but I agree. And Preston, you said for us at a certain point, every year having these movies roll out and looking forward to them, especially at our screenings, was a great thing because we knew everyone was of a like mind to be there and take it. But for us, it was the incredible rock concerts of years gone by. It was that same vibe, like, oh my God, we're going. It's going to be great.
Exactly. When Cap does get the hammer, Thor goes, I knew it, right?
Yes, yeah.
It's just the best.
Because you remember in Ultron, he gets it to budge a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah, so that's awesome. So we're looking for you, MCU experts, Marvel Cinematic Universe experts. Sign up now at PrestonandSteve.com. We'll execute that next week, and we will crown our champion.
Yes.
All right, and then we'll move on to
It's going to get bloody, Raj.
It is.
Yeah.
So get ready for that. I have a few things in the drawer, junk drawer. That I need to clean out. So I'm going to dig in here, find a few stories. We're going to start with this, and it has to do with shopping. So we're kicking off with one. We did all this Marvel Universe stuff, so I figured I'd do something for Kathy. You might not be seeing those Bed Bath & Beyond coupons as much anymore, with the retailer planning to scale them back in an effort to increase profits and be more competitive on pricing with its competitors.
I got one in the mail yesterday.
Did you?
So they're still out there.
They're eliminating stores, right?
Yeah, they're closing a lot of stores.
And are they also converting the layouts of the remaining Bed Bath & Beyond?
They already converted them.
Okay.
And some of those are some of the stores that are closing. So I think whatever their idea was didn't quite work.
The chief merchandising office, Joe Hartzig, said in a virtual meeting with investors yesterday, today we have an over-reliance on the coupon. The retailer said it studied 405 million shoppers, baskets, and 285,000 items, and found that 40% of its promotions were ineffective and unnecessary.
All right. Well, most people relying on phone apps and things of that nature.
It says the move comes to Bed Bath & Beyond has seen a boost in sales this year amid the pandemic as people have been buying things for their homes as well as cleaning supplies. However, an analyst of the Global Data Retail warned about the move, saying many Bed Bath & Beyond customers love coupons, so scaling them back may have an impact on shopper numbers and sales.
Well, that's the problem. There are a few stores out there, and Bed Bath & Beyond is one of them, where you would never walk in. Most shoppers won't walk in without that 20% off coupon because they made it so available to everyone.
Right.
They never expired. So you could take in one. I mean, I think I have one in my car. Actually, I'm going to go through the coupons that I have in my glove compartment when I get out there today. I think there's probably one in there from like 2009.
Wow. Kathy, I bet you that the coupons really didn't. I mean, so every time I've gone to Bed Bath & Beyond, they'll ask me if I have a coupon, and the cashier will just take, and just swipe on.
Yeah, they'll pull one out
for
you.
So for me, it seems more of an advertising thing more than the importance of the coupon. Like, hey, Bed Bath & Beyond is still here.
Well,
and you're getting that in the mail, because I don't think I've 99% of the time, my wife always has the coupons. I never do, and I still get the coupon price.
So I don't think they do that anymore, at least not at the Bed Bath & Beyond that I was recently at. They would not scan, they didn't have one behind the counter, or they wouldn't scan it. However, they did say, if you come back with your coupon, we can price adjust your receipt. So they're still trying. I guess they're trying to get you back in, but it's just a store. The Gap is the same way. Like, no one shops there without a coupon. There's always something out there.
Mm-hmm. I have a coupon with me.
Does that go to you if you use your own coupon as opposed to the one they have at the store there for you? Is there a rewards program that gets funneled into?
Probably does.
Like, when you go to the grocery store and you go to one you normally don't go to, and they say, do you have a rewards card? And you're like, no. And they pull out their own card and swipe it. You get the discount, but you don't get, like, the reward points that come along with it.
I don't believe Bed Bath & Beyond or Gap, places like that, do. I just mean, no, if they had a coupon behind the counter, then yes, I would use that. I wouldn't care. But I'm just saying, those are places where you're not going to tend to pay full price. And they've set that standard by making these coupons readily accessible to everyone and never having them expire and, you know, never going away. So no one's going to go shop there they know that they're going to get 20% off no matter what they buy there.
Right. Okay. Well, anyhow, they're going to scale back on the coupons.
Uh-oh. Which they should if they're trying, you know.
No.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right, let me dive in here, the junk drawer.
Really sell it.
Ow. Okay, I got it. All right, here's a story about shopping. Let's go.
Another shopping story?
Great. Amazing.
Yeah. Oh, my God. This is totally tailored to Kathy.
No, it is about shopping. But
this is the greatest day of my life.
There's a California grocery store that's selling bouquets that they call bundles of organic leaves for $15. They just went out and raked, and they're selling these things for $15.
Bundles of organic leaves.
Yeah, San Francisco's Buy Right is hawking the paper-wrapped bundles of organic leaves,
Aren't all leaves organic?
Yeah, I hate those artificial ones that fall from the trees.
Noting they are, however they note, they are pesticide free.
Yeah.
And sourced from maple trees at the organic McGinnis Ranch in Watsonville.
I don't give a rat's ass.
Sandy McGinnis Garcia told Fox News
I don't give a f***.
They are 3 to 5 foot tall branches with beautiful leaves.
It's more of like
I have to get on a ladder, put it in a cooler of water, and drive 99 miles to the city. It's not like I'm snapping off branches from the side of the road, although you could.
Right. Okay. So it's not the actual leaves. Like I was thinking, like you said, they just raked up leaves. This is
that's what it sounded like
in
this
tree,
story.
Basically. Yeah. It's more of a centerpiece.
Okay. Kath, did I ever tell you?
It's a crock of crap is what it is.
You know, my friend is a florist in L.A.
Yeah, you said that.
And I never really thought too much about, you know, floral arrangements and all that stuff. And then he started posting these pictures on Instagram. And I was like, oh, this is like an actual art form. Like this, yes. Like when he posts, I'm like, you know, so me as a guy, I'm like, these are just flowers. You know what
I'm
going
to drink a beer and watch sport.
Pee on something. So I saw him posting things. Look it up at Petal Workshop, by the way. Show her some stuff. So I decided to go to, like, my produce junction or whatever. I was just going to do my own thing, and I did it for, like, my wife's birthday.
That's so good.
No! It was terrible!
Anytime we get, like if I do pick up a bouquet at the grocery store and I bring it home, and then you have to put it in a vase, you got to trim things up because they don't fit. They look stupid. They're too tall for the vase and everything. And when I try to arrange it nicely. I see what she does on her own. I'm like, I can't do that.
Yeah, see, that's what I love doing. I will go to places like Produce Junction and make my own because I enjoy it. But, yeah, I mean, you look at some of these things that people are doing and you kind of get inspiration from it.
You have to have, like, a little bit of a botany knowledge. You have to understand what flowers are available in which seasons. And then there's the art of the actual arrangement. It's an impressive skill.
And then the art of marking it up.
Yeah.
Yes,
Kathy, can I ask you a quick question about from the female perspective? Because my friend Joe gave another friend, his wife, grocery store flowers as a present. And I thought that was a nice thing to do. But she gave him a whole bunch of guff because they were grocery store
flowers. Well, it depends. Were they dyed flowers? If they were like a blue dyed flower, I would beat him over the head with it.
That's what she said. I'm going to beat him over the head with the flowers. And I thought Joe was just being nice.
What was it for? Was it for a special anniversary?
That's it, Casey. It was an anniversary thing. But it wasn't the only
present.
Which
anniversary is the grocery store anniversary?
Right? It was their third or fourth wedding anniversary. And it wasn't the only present that he gave her. But she gave him a hard time.
He also had a dress from CBS, right?
Yeah.
The problem is...
A Bruval t-shirt from CBS.
He probably gave it to her still wrapped in the thing that said whatever grocery store it was from. He should have put it in a vase.
He gave it to her thinking he was going to get credit for giving flowers.
Right.
And in return, she gave him crap because they were grocery store flowers.
Is this all that he gave her?
No.
I can break it down for you. Do you want it broken down? Here's the rule. You're going out to pick up some milk. Oh, I grabbed you some flowers. It's your anniversary, florist.
It
depends on the wife because my wife goes, you know, you could have got these at Acme for $10.
Yeah,
you spent $80 on this bouquet of roses, right. And you can get them at Produce Junction for $7.99.
Well, this guy ain't married to your wife, apparently. So.
It depends on what they look like. That's what I said. Like, a lot of grocery store flowers, they'll die, and they make them look not natural anymore. To me, that's cheesy. But if you can find a nice bouquet, who cares where they're from?
Yeah, but you can use the bouquet to shoplift.
Yeah, you put your beef inside that.
There's some cheese in here.
Is there rolled up liverwurst in here? Yeah.
I got my wife, so our anniversary was just a couple of weeks ago, and I bought her a card, and I think she appreciated the gesture because the anniversary cards were like $7.
Oh, you hate buying cards.
Well, I don't.
It's the biggest scam in the world.
I hate it. $7 for a paragraph of words that I didn't write.
You.
So I grabbed...
I'd look at the price of the card before I read it.
No doubt. So for a dollar, I bought a different card that had pumpkin spice latte on it. So
you
and
got
I gave
dollar
that to
card?
Her. Yes.
They're hard to find.
I
now.
Know. And so I wrote, I go, I love you so much that I only spent a dollar on this card.
Oh, you should have told
nice.
Us.
Yeah.
I love you.
I bought an expensive card the other day. I found it online. They have these pop-up cards.
Yeah.
And this was like a cherry blossom tree.
Oh, super pretty.
It's really cool. But that
my
thing.
My dear Michelle, you remind me of a cherry blossom tree.
it was like $15.
Look, it pops up.
Yeah, it ain't cheap.
And it went in the trash.
No, it did not.
She keeps them.
That one's going to hang on for a while because it looks pretty. Yeah,
Case, I'm with you with the cards. They're it's ridiculous.
Listen,
pay $7, $8, $9, $10 sometimes.
I know. I checked that.
For a greeting card.
It was Rochelle's birthday, and so I bought cards for everybody, and it was like, you know, $50 by the time I was done.
Yeah,
for cards.
Yeah,
go to the dollar store. You can get your cards there. They have decent enough cards. You know,
I used to be like that. No, because I used to do stuff like that. Like, I would give, instead of doing that, I one time I gave a pack of congratulations to a graduating nurse. It was like 30 cards were less expensive than one birthday card for the person I was giving it to.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, hang on, and we're going to move on. We're doing the junk drawer, but I have Olivia who does flower arrangements. Hi, Olivia. Good morning.
Hi, Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks, you wanted to comment on grocery store flowers.
Yes, so I've actually found it pretty successful sometimes. You know, some of the quality of the flowers actually are very nice. I mean, because I've worked with a lot of different flowers from different places, and I'm actually, if you take care of them and you keep the water clean and cut the stems, you know, I've had them last for like 2-3 weeks at a time.
And not dye them blue, right?
Not dyed blue. They're natural.
Well, so for the most part, though, like I've gone into supermarkets where they have like a little floral section, but
yeah,
actually have
so
it's and the stuff there is not bad. Do you agree with my delineation though, Olivia, that if it's going to be something a little bit more impactful, you go to the actual florist and get something that's going to last a bit longer? If you're just in passing, you pick up a bouquet like that, that's totally fine.
I think it all depends on the individual, but definitely take the wrapper off so nobody knows.
Yes. I'll tell you what though, if it's from Acme, they're a sponsor of the Camp Out for Hunger. Show that symbol with pride.
Yeah, because I've actually gotten beautiful hydrangeas at, I mean, ShopRite before, and they've lasted a while. I made my sister what would you call it? Trial run bouquet for her wedding with those, and it lasted over a week. Okay. I've done flower arrangements for a friend's smaller budget wedding with flowers from Produce Junction, and it just depends on what you're trying to do with them. You can make them look really nice and make
them
last.
Is it acceptable to give grass clippings? Right, I mean that's
that along with the leaves on a
right.
branch.
Right here, I got this from the supermarket.
Mulch and grass.
Look at this, I got some rocks.
Wow. All right, thank
well,
you.
Depends. The manzanita trees were really popular at one time.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, thank you, Olivia. Appreciate
so,
it.
When you guys are giving a card to your spouses or girlfriend, in your case, Nick, do you also write a nice little note in there as well?
Okay, I do. I write something that's impactful, like happy birthday. No, I write.
Oh my God!
I'll write something.
Can
that
I
means
steal
something.
That?
Yeah. I mean, it makes
sense. Yeah, I read a short note.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you're getting a dollar store card, you have to. If you're getting...
Take the time.
A $10 card, no, you enjoy what I paid $10
also,
for.
Rule of thumb with that, Kathy, write it out, type it out or on the computer, and then handwrite it once you've corrected it and made sure that you...
I hate that when I'm writing a nice
and
heartfelt
you F it
note
up.
And I'm like, oh my God.
Every time, misspell
I'm
something?
Like, I forgot
now
to put a
sucks.
W in there.
Yeah.
Every
yes.
time.
And where do you find, you know, pink whiteout?
My handwriting is already terrible enough.
Yes!
I'm like, oh God, come on.
It looks like a pharmacist wrote a prescription.
Yeah. I can't even spell birthday correctly.
Right. That's true. We know that.
Birthday.
Happy birthday.
Birthday. All right. Back to the junk drawer.
Come on.
So let me see what else I can find.
Mike, email me. I want to know where you wholesale to.
Oh, do you want me to go to the call?
No, it's okay. Email me.
We're in Kathy's realm now.
There's a wholesale florist and can help point us in the right directions. It's Kathy at WMMR.com. Mike, if you could send an email to her.
Thanks.
All right, so daylight savings time is this weekend. A new survey finds 63% of Americans polled want a fixed year-round time.
Yes.
Some people like Nick are really into that.
I've been saying this for years.
Yes.
But why? I don't...
consistency
why?
Throughout the year. There's just listen. We don't need to get into the reasons why. It eventually makes sense, and it's a waste of time, a waste of energy, and it costs productivity in the workplace. People messes with their sleep schedule. There's already enough stress going on in the world, and this is just one more thing. So it's a simple fix that could alleviate a lot of real complicated problems.
So when we switch, we fall back. It'll be dark now at about 5.
Mm-hmm. Oh my!
Right?
I feel like it's getting dark really early.
It
so,
is.
And now we're going to move the clocks again. So we do this Saturday night, Halloween night.
Yeah, 2 a.m.
Okay.
See, this was great.
You get an extra hour to trick or treat from 1 to 2 a.m.
Right.
In, like, my partying days in college, you know, when you can get an extra hour of sleep or an extra hour of partying or whatever. But now it doesn't affect me whatsoever.
The big argument is it's all based on the agrarian society that we used to be.
Right.
And or, you know, I mean, there's still obviously there are farmers and so on, but it was much more prevalent and people had to make their living doing that.
Right.
And it made it easier. And
to close up the blacksmith earlier.
It's not as necessary any longer. So, but 63%, I think the argument is, Nick, just consistency. It just makes it easier. I mean, I don't find it that intrusive. It's just two times a year. You're reminded regularly on how to do it, but, I don't know.
Nor do I. I mean, there are bigger fish to fry. Right. But the weird thing for me is always that there are inconsistencies in time zones themselves. Sometimes England is 5 hours ahead. Sometimes England is like 6 hours ahead. Arizona doesn't change. Right. I don't think Hawaii changes. So there are these weird patterns around the world, including here in the U.S., where sometimes it's one time zone and another time it's another time zone. Nick, that to me makes no sense.
They actually base it on which areas have the McRib.
That kind of makes sense.
Not many. That's why you don't see it most of the time.
Right.
The good doctor wants to speak to us.
Oh,
he does want to go to him. Yeah, I'm sure he's got a thing or two to say about sleep disruptions.
I got a bone to pick with him.
Okay. Well, from Fox 29 and Penn Medicine, Dr. Mike Sirigliano.
Hey!
Good morning, Dr. Mike.
Hello there. Hello.
Hello.
There's no good reason, like Nick said. There's absolutely medical reasons why we should not do this. If you change your circadian rhythms, it really has been shown not only to increase the risk of accidents, car accidents, workplace accidents, but also medical issues, because sleep-wake cycles really can play with risk of heart attack and blood pressure. It's just a bad idea. Not good. I don't know why we do it. I don't know. Kathy, are you working on the farm today?
She loves the farm. She's raising chickens. You know that. Just that hour switch, and I've seen studies that say it really does wreak havoc, correct?
I believe it.
It does, not only from a performance point of view at work and at home, but the risk of injury goes up.
Yeah, he's right. He's right about that. He's absolutely right about that. It's in this study, yeah. Huh.
And the issue here is why? Why do we do that? Especially with all that's going on right now, maybe it's time to put that one away from 1882.
So what's the argument for keeping it, Mike?
I have no idea. I don't know. There's a lot of mysteries in the world right now, and that's one of them.
Well,
I just don't get it. I don't think it benefits. I mean, the idea was to for productivity.
Right. To allow more time to get that done. As Preston said, we were more agrarian-based. This was a more important issue, but that has since gone away.
Hey, to throw some numbers out to back up what Mike is saying, researchers say there's an 18% increase in adverse medical events due to human error in the week after switching to daylight savings time in the spring. So that's, later on in the year. But when we do switch it, it kind of throws everybody off.
So let me ask you, Mike, is it the same effect whether we gain an hour or lose an hour? It's still throwing us off?
Well, certainly the lack of an hour, the loss of an hour is really bad.
Yeah.
But any time you mess with your circadian rhythms, the rhythm of waking and going to sleep, it's a problem. And I want to throw this in there. The country is sleep deprived on a good day. I mean, we as Americans don't get enough sleep. Look, Steve, you and I know we don't get enough sleep.
We were just talking about it. Yeah,
I don't.
So this just adds fuel to the fire. It's a bad idea. It needs to go away. And with all of the stuff going on, why are we still doing this?
All right, Mike, Casey's got a bone to pick with you, he says.
Yeah, I sent you a text the other day to ask you a question. You didn't answer it. Is it true that the age to get your colonoscopy has moved up from 50 to 45?
Saw that the other day.
Right. Well, that comes from the United States Preventive Services Task Force, and they feel that should be the case. And in fact, I agree with that, because the numbers are going up for colon cancer in young people. And so the younger age is based on that data. We don't know exactly why that's happening. It might be environmental, but I certainly think it's a travesty for someone to not be diagnosed with early stage colon cancer if they have it, because it can save their life. And look, just 2 weeks ago I had my colonoscopy. I love that propofol.
Oh, I'm due for one. Oh, yeah, I'm due for one, and that the propofol is a big big plus.
Listen, it's not onerous. You do Miralax with Gatorade, and yes, you do poop a lot for 24 awesome. Hours before that, but it's not onerous, and it can save your life. I had a small polyp. They took it out, and I'm going to have another one in 5 years. That's what you do, but you need to do it and talk with your healthcare provider about the new data.
Now, well, I'm 45 now, Dr. Mike.
Well, you know what? I always
spread those cheeks.
Yeah, yep. Yep.
I got your butt, Casey.
Yeah, yeah. You do. You know what I mean?
But right.
He uses his thumb.
Well, I do not.
How dare you?
Get out of here. If anything, you know what? I use more KY than 4 out of 5 doctors.
That's right. You don't want to mess with Dr. Mike right now. You know they call him Deadshot around the...
Yeah. He is.
He's my shooting buddy.
Nailed
Casey,
it.
Casey, call me. You know, I don't bring my phone in with COVID patients.
Yeah, so oh, right.
But just call me, text me, and because I got that we have other things to do with you.
Yeah. I got you, bro.
And, hey, he's looking great, by the way. He's lost a lot of weight. He's Mr. He's getting on a healthy track. You'd be proud of him.
Yep. Well, that's because of my Rico Suave.
That's right, Rico Suave.
I don't want his wife spending his money with named Rico Suave. So yep. He's got to stay alive.
All right, and by the way, I think I'm coming down with something, Dr. Mike. I'll talk to you later.
Oh,
okay.
Great. What?
All right. We'll see you later, Dr. Mike.
Yay! Love
yeah,
Dr. Mike.
I got a love you, man. Yeah, I got this nasal soreness. It's leading back into my throat, and it's just started bothering me overnight.
Have you tried Gold Bond powder?
I haven't tried that.
My name is Mavis from Cincinnati.
Should do some lines of that.
Coke.
Yeah. All right, so I think that's all we have time
oh,
for.
Oh, man.
Right? Yeah. Or do I have time for one more?
Yeah, do one more.
That one's too long.
Okay.
This one's just right.
Yeah, that one's too thick.
Casey's looking at the story.
This one's too veiny.
That one's too veiny. Ooh, that one looks really good.
Yeah, but that's kind of, that's going to lead to some other things.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Yep, I got one. Oh, yeah. Last thing from the junk drawer. The world's longest legs belong to a 17-year-old girl from Texas.
I saw this girl. It is... she's obviously a statuesque young lady.
Is she
but
like
they say legs for miles?
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Is she like the Charlie Day monster from Monsters Incorporated?
Yeah.
It's these legs. He's great. Guinness World Records has certified that Marcy Curran of Cedar Park holds the title for world's longest legs female,
legs.
As well as has the longest legs on a teenager. Curran's.
I didn't know they broke it down by age group.
Legs, really, really.
Curran's left leg is four feet, 5.25 inches tall, long. Wow.
Almost as tall as Marissa.
Yeah, it's getting
her
there.
One leg.
While her right leg is 4 feet, 4.87 inches long. She stands 6'10", by the way.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So she's, she's a tree topper, big time. And says that while she comes from a tall family, she is the tallest. 6'10". Wow.
There's a Netflix movie about a chick who's really tall. You
yeah,
guys, okay.
Tall girl.
Yeah.
It's cute.
Yeah.
And
is
she's
a
cute.
Documentary?
No.
Oh, it's no, real, no, it's fiction. Yeah, almost it's like a Disney
drama.
Movie.
Okay. Yeah, it's a teen drama thing. And she's...
How tall is she in the movie?
She's over 6 foot.
Okay.
And she's in high school.
Yeah.
And so she towers over everybody, and she gets picked on because of it, because... It does happen, especially if you're a girl and you're tall. It's kind of makes you a bit of a target. But, yeah, her parents try to get her. So they have, like, these treetopper clubs of
yes.
tall people.
Yeah.
And her parents sign her up for that, unbeknownst to her. And she's like, no, you don't get it. I don't like this. And but it's a cute movie.
Yeah. We had the great actress Julie Newmar on the show. And, she was Catwoman on the original Batman series.
She tall?
She's 6 feet, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And she said, you know, own it. Really, you know, wear heels, do the whole thing. And she did that all her life. And look what happened to her. She's freaking Julie Newmar.
Yeah, so my wife's roommates were or are tall, I should say. Her roommates from college, and then after college, they were like 5'10" and maybe even like 6 foot, something like that.
That's yeah. model height.
Yeah, it is. And they're both beautiful.
Yeah.
But one was like, I can't date anybody under 6 feet tall. Like so
you'd be out.
Oh, totally
yeah.
out.
Well, that's what. Yeah. So a lot of times, taller women like to date guys that are just as tall, and it really cuts down the numbers on being able to find a potential.
It's true.
Mate,
yeah, it's
true. If that's a priority to you, being shorter than your significant other.
My buddy from college, Stu Kukla, he is probably 6'4", something like that, and his wife's is tall as well. And I remember going to their house after they got married, and their bed. It was like 5 feet off the ground. It was. I felt like a child.
I love it. All right, that's all I had time for in the junk drawer. So we're going to wrap up that segment, but I'm going to reiterate as we're getting out of this that we're going back to the self-proclaimed experts contest next week. So we are soliciting for the category that we are going to find experts in, and that is the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So if you now listen, you really have to feel like you can take on anybody.
This isn't
in the trivia realm.
I think I know a lot. It's like I know a lot.
Yeah, like I, without question, will be victorious. So that's the level of fanatic that we're looking for. Go to PrestonandSteve.com. Send us information about you. Sell it to us, okay? Because we're going to go through and we're going to read these and we're going to find the ones that we just that stand out to us. And then we'll have you battle at some point next week, see who the Indeed expert is. So it's the battle of the self-proclaimed experts, the MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe. We're also going to do another thing, but this morning, Confessions of a Massage Therapist. We've done this before, where we've taken stories from different professions to tell us strange, weird things, secrets, stuff that we should know that drive people like yourself crazy in your profession. Just things that we don't know. So if you're in that industry, get yourself ready because we're going to do it probably in about 20, 30 minutes or so. We'll come back in just a moment, get to the B-File. Stay with us.
Freshen up your look with a fall merch update at MMR's Rock Shop. Head to WMMR.com and grab the latest hoodie or winter hat. For all you Halloween heads, hit up aisle one for a flurry of ghostly face masks. They'll get you right in the spirit and work nicely if you're one of those, this is my costume kind of people. Plus, gift cards, t-shirts, hats, and coffee mugs for a unique gift for that person who has everything. The Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Everything that rocks your wardrobe and more.
All right, let's see what we got today, story-wise, in the B-File.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, we'll begin with this story and see what you think about it. A man who paid a $150 price for a, quote, full contact experience with a black leopard, says that he had to undergo multiple surgeries after he was mauled by the fully grown animal in an enclosure behind a Florida home.
Oh, they should have warned against that with your full contact panther experience.
A picture shows Dwight Turner's heavily bandaged head and ear after the savage attack, which detectives from the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission say happened behind a home.
When I purchased the polar bear canoodling session, I didn't realize I could be injured.
The man who lives there, identified as Michael Poggy, has a Facebook page saying that he runs an animal sanctuary for rare and endangered animals. Investigators say Poggy charged the 50-year-old Turner $150 for a full contact experience with his black leopard to, quote, play with it, rub its belly, and take
stroke
pictures.
It. Massage it.
Once Turner walked inside the enclosure, the leopard attacked, like, right away.
Sure. Of course, the leopard doesn't know the financial arrangement.
The injuries were so severe, the report says the victim's scalp was, quote, hanging from his head.
Buddy, that was worth every cent.
And his right ear was torn in half.
Oh, jeez.
Authorities say Poggy was charged with allowing full contact with an extremely dangerous animal and was cited for maintaining captive wildlife in an unsafe condition. There's a video, I think it might be from the first Jackass movie, where one of them, it wasn't one of the local guys, it was somebody else. It might have been...
I think it was either Pontius or Steve-O.
Who dressed up as like a mouse.
A mouse, yeah.
And went in with a mountain lion.
Yeah.
Into the enclosure.
Yeah.
And the thing is like throwing his claws out at him. And I'm like, dude, that's okay. That's really stupid. They do some stupid things, but I was like, that's the one that I'm like, you guys were, you really could have died from that.
Yeah.
What you don't realize is how strong they are, how sharp the claws are, and that's how you end up with your scalp hanging off by a thread.
So, a friend of mine has a picture of them with a jaguar. They were at some resort. It was either in Mexico or in the Caribbean. They are... in the pool at the resort, and the jag is sitting, and that was like something you could do.
That's crazy. Go swimming. No, I wouldn't pay for that.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. Don't need that.
No.
All right. New York City firefighter has been moonlighting as a stuntman while also raking in a $136,000 a year disability pension. Firefighter John A. McGinty retired with the lucrative annual payout, citing leg, hip, and spinal injuries in 2016.
Is he doing disabled stunts?
No, after 25 years with the FDNY, but it turns out McGinty works as a professional movie stuntman, according to his own LinkedIn page.
Wow.
McGinty, who also goes by the stage name John Mack, says he is adept at fighting, driving stunts, falls below 30 feet in small fires. McGinty's bio on IMDb lists 33 TV stunt film credits going back more than a decade, including appearances in Law & Order, The Americans, and 2004's The Manchurian Candidate, which means he was moonlighting as a stuntman while still a firefighter, as well as after retirement.
That seems like something someone who is injured would not be able to do.
People who know McGinty blew the whistle on the stuntman and retired disability pensioners' double life after seeing the Post's recent story that nearly all the firefighters who retired last year had annual pensions that topped $100,000, mostly on three-quarter disability. McGinty is disabled, and this is according to a neighbor who lives nearby. He said, McGinty is disabled, and we watched him build a new porch on his house. Now, it gets more intense. So, another neighbor referred to McGinty as Johnny Stunts. The FDNY's practice of awarding three-quarter disability pensions has been a simmering issue over the years. The Post reported a decade ago that about a firefighter who obtained a disability pension for a respiratory illness and then went on to compete in triathlons. McGinty's double life might have remained a secret, except that he sued his next-door neighbor in the Rockaways for defamation and claimed the name-calling in front of an actress friend, Julia Reifers, hurt his stuntman-slash-movie acting career. The plaintiff, here's what it said in the suit. The plaintiff is employed as a stuntman and actor with the Screen Actors Guild. This is in the suit against the neighbor, Brian Sullivan, also a retired firefighter. McGinty alleged in court documents that Sullivan called him, quote, a pedophile, a chicken hawk, and a sexual predator who harassed his wife. The two also sued each other over a dispute involving a fence Sullivan erected, separating their properties. Under questioning during the trial in the case, McGinty said, I'm a retired disabled firefighter. And in a sworn affidavit in the defamation case, Sullivan's wife claimed that McGinty was a serial harasser who stalked her and called her a slut and white trash.
God.
He also
try to get along with your neighbors if you can.
He also grabbed his crotch while leering at her from his truck, she claimed.
Oh, man.
The Sullivans declined to comment, but this guy is, he's been busted.
So. Well, also, you're in things that are seen by millions of people.
Yeah. Let's see. Halloween has a sort of spooky scale that runs the gamut from the casual black cat, full moon, or harmless jack-o'-lantern to the extremes of things like disembodied corpses. Well, artist Steven Novak finds himself comfortably at the horrifying end of the scale at his East Dallas neighbor and his East Dallas neighbors and the Dallas Police Department surely attest to that. He had said, I've always been up to the hijinks like flying ghosts or 7 foot tall snow sculptures of myself. So I was going to do Halloween. If I was going to do Halloween, it was obvious that it should be hyper real. Novak says, so no lights, no fog machine, or no camp. Something that would really freak people out walking by in the dark. So I whipped up some dummies and slung 20 gallons of blood all over. I showed these pictures to Steve this morning.
It's fantastic.
It's outrageous. His home holds a horror show. In his yard, one dummy, and this is you have to see this, lies with its head pulverized as a safe had fallen on the head and splattered the blood all over the place.
Oh, my God.
It is so well done.
I mean, and it goes right from the doorstep to the roof out to the street.
Yeah. He also one lies with a scale where his or her head used to be, and a few more lie and bloodied trash bags falling off a wheelbarrow. You guys looking at it?
Yeah.
The one with the safe on the head is just hilarious.
Steve, would you ever take it to this extreme?
It's tempting.
I mean, you have neighborhood kids coming.
I still want the kids to enjoy it. And so I push the limits with the horror. But as long as I'm seeing kids up front smiling, then that's cool. This would be a little too disturbing.
Yeah. There's one with a chainsaw in its back and lying on his face. So he said, all the while in the window of the house, a zombie horde attempts to break out while this is going on. He said, I'm most proud of the wheelbarrow tipped over by the street full of hefty bags, looking like a failed attempt to dispose of the dismembered bodies in the middle of the night. He said, a kid walked by and asked me what happened to them, and I said there were too many Skittles. They had too many Skittles. It's funny because he said it was raining a lot and washing the blood away, so I had to water the bodies every morning. For a while, the dismay of early dog walkers and joggers saying as they passed by, oh, just watering the bodies. So this guy did it to the nth level. It's pretty awesome. And that's all we have time for. I have another Halloween display story, but we'll get to that in the next run of the B-File. We're going to take a break. When we return, we're looking for those in the industry of massage therapy to tell us your stories.
Yeah.
We're doing confessions of a massage therapist. We've done this with other industry workers before, different industries that have secrets of the trade or things that have seen or horror stories or things that we should know. And I'm sure there's some stories out there. So we'll come back in a moment with that. Stay with us. And also Adam Ferrara joining us later today. We'll be right back.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So we haven't done this in a while, but we were asking for people in certain professions to call in and share the secrets of their trade or the horror stories or things that we should know about what you do. And we've chosen some interesting ones in the past. And what kicked off this was a conversation the other day about massage therapists. And even if they work in a legitimate or medical or you know, rehabilitation, whatever, we were joking that I'll bet they... Somebody asks them every now and then for a happy ending, or at least jokes about it regularly.
Tries to pretend they're joking about it, right. But it's actually asking about it. Yeah.
215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you got some stories to share. And I have no idea if people will call in or not. We just throw it out there and see if it happens. But I would like to hear if there are any. I've been seeing a chiropractor, so...
Did you get a happy ending?
No.
Why not?
No.
Seriously, why not?
But almost every time...
Let me adjust this.
I get a massage while I'm there. And I've forgotten how much I love getting a massage. It's just, it's excellent. You feel so much better.
It is a quality of life issue. It is therapeutic. My wife has issues with her back, and she relies on them. It makes a difference.
Yeah.
A lot of people consider it, am I getting too pampery? Am I just, you know? No, there is a medicinal benefit to getting a massage.
Most definitely.
So I have a friend of mine that I went to college with, and he told me this story, and I don't know if I believe it, but he got a massage, and at the end of the massage, the therapist said to him, if there's any part of your body that is not fully relaxed, why don't you just take my hand and put it there?
Wow. Oh no.
Which was an invitation for him to put her hand on. And he did. And she did. And I'm like, wait. Does that not...
On his crotch?
Yeah.
Stop it.
That...
What was the location? Where did he have it done?
Where was his crotch?
No. I mean, seriously, like, was
I don't know the exact location, but it was a... Like a place, not a like a, like, no, I don't
not necessarily
know, because this
chain,
is like the
but...
90s, so I don't remember there being any change, but it was like a nice spa, not a, like a.
Wow. Were they playing the Soup Dragons on the, in the
I think they were playing I'm Free.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
That's
thing,
wild.
Maybe.
Interesting.
I never had that happen.
Nope.
I had a friend who, it was a female, she was recommended to go to this place, or referred to go to this place from someone else. They said, it's great. You're going to love it. It's a great, a great massage you'll get. And she went, she got the massage. It was another female that was massaging her. And afterwards, like, stuff started to get weird. And she said she ended up in a shower with the girl with this, like, it wasn't water. It was this, like, milky substance that was coming out. And she was like, I don't know what, like, she had no idea what was going on. I mean, to hear her tell this story, like, she said she just, like, ran out. She didn't know what to do.
Was the quote unquote therapist was in there with her?
Yes. Like,
naked?
My friend ended up, I think she had like a robe or something.
Okay.
I think had she been into it, yes, they would have been completely naked, but she didn't because the woman like led her to the shower. So she was like, oh, okay. I didn't know this was like a place where I shower.
Funny.
And yeah. And
that's
so,
weird.
She said it was
like a milk thing.
So bizarre. And I was like, wait. And she was very... She did go into detail, but she was kind of like, I don't know. Like, I think she was embarrassed that she had even let it get that far.
Okay.
And she was like, I don't know. I don't know why it happened. I don't know what was going on. I had to get out of there.
Wow. Listen, if you do call in, keep in mind we can keep you anonymous. And if you don't want to share any salacious stories, that's fine, too. Maybe there's some things that that we as patrons should know. Is, you know, like, don't say this or don't do that, or we'd appreciate it if you do this or don't do that.
Or you hate, yeah, exactly, when you hate when people do this.
Yeah, 215-263-WMMR. So we're going to go to Veronica. Hi, Veronica. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Veronica. Okay, so what can you share about your profession that is something we may not know? Or, you know what, let's start right off with the happy ending thing. Do people... And how long have you been working in this industry first? Let me ask that.
I've been almost 15 years now.
You've been doing it for quite a while. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you get the happy ending thing as a joke or as a legit request from time to time?
Both. I'm just beyond over the jokes from day one, over the jokes. It's not funny.
Yeah.
And to us, you know, and while we're working, it's like kind of scary because then you're like, is he joking?
Right.
Is he not? Mm. Do I end this? Do I get out of here?
Right.
You know, it's a very uncomfortable position.
So percentage-wise, how many guys, we're assuming it's guys mostly, and could be a woman who asks for a happy ending, but what percentage of guys who pretend to be joking do you believe are not actually joking and just kind of feeling you out to see if you'd go for it?
You know, it is very low because the ones who want it, you can tell. The creepers, they start insinuating, they start talking about I have a groin injury.
So they set the table with a groin injury or they try to put you in that general area.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
I pulled a nut.
Right.
I think I pulled my nut.
Would you do it too?
Oh my God.
What was the most overt presentation you had for that?
Okay, so I used to do house calls way back when, and I went to this gentleman's house, a friend, I was subbing for a friend of mine, and older guy, I'm just giving you the setup real quick, really sweet, showing me pictures of his grandkids, whatever. I set up the table. I exit the room like I always do, let them get ready. I tell everybody, you know, face down, under the sheet and blanket, give them very explicit directions, you know?
Right.
I come back in.
Oh, no.
He's laying face up.
Oh, no.
On top of the sheet and blanket with, like, basically a washcloth over his stuff.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
And I'm like... Okay, because I have a giant sheet and blanket there, pillow, like whatever, and you somehow pulled this washcloth out of somewhere and thought like this was cool.
He was ready. He had the whole washcloth gambit ready to go.
Yeah, and that's all he was wearing was this washcloth.
Oh, man.
I didn't run out of there, just to give you the setup. The older guy, he had Parkinson's. He was on the frail side.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, like, I'm not in serious danger. I could get out of here, you know? So I would put the sheet back over the instructions, you know, blah, 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 do the massage. And he would complain about the groin stuff or whatever.
Oh, my God.
Call. So he asked me back again. Again, beginning of my career, I'm like broke as. I'm like, okay, fine.
Right.
I go to this dude's house. Same scenario. You know, same thing. Always with a washcloth or like a small like dish towel.
Come on.
Right. So finally, I come back again and I bring my own towels, a giant bath sheet, right? I could tell he was like really pissed. So what ended up happening with this guy, there was one time I came in, he said, do you do body scrubs? And I said, sure, I can do that. And I had extra sheets and towels and like whatever, whole setup again, where nobody would be exposed and I leave the room and you go hop in your shower and like whatever, right? Mm-hmm. I give him the setup. I come back in. He is standing in his shower because he had this giant bedroom with this whatever, you know, and you think, well, going to bedroom, but it was huge. It was like the whole top part of his house. So I go in and he's standing in his shower naked, holding a jar of like body scrub and two little scrubby hand gloves in his hand, like, hey, you know.
So that, I assume, and that was the time they killed it.
Yeah, what'd you do? Well, we can't say that, but
I'm so sorry.
You scrub the crap out of him.
Yeah, I mean, and nothing, obviously nothing sexual, but I was just like, oh, you want a body scrub? And it was, yeah.
Oh, borderline. So you took off the top three layers of his skin.
Yeah.
To me, that's like, no, man. I mean, that, was he aroused during this?
No. I was like, you want a scrub?
She made it painful.
Oh, okay. All right. So you like using Brillo pads.
No, just a little he gave me. I didn't actually like, you know, there was no, you know, marring of the skin, but
right.
I made sure he knew that this was not fun.
What a cheesy maneuver. Yeah. The washcloth thing, yeah. But I'm, listen, I mean, that is a common joke. It's a common expectation, I think, amongst the creepers.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Yeah, that's something you always have to deal with.
Veronica, do you still do that? Are you still a massage therapist?
I am still a massage therapist. I consider myself, well, I am a medical massage therapist. Doctors refer to me. Chiropractors refer to me. I'm not in the relaxation massage part. I certainly can do that. Sometimes my clients ask for that, but
right.
I'm really dealing with people with physical issues, pre and post surgery, athletes, things like that.
You're not the happy ending industry.
No,
but you provide your own hand towels for the groin.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Did you hear Casey's story earlier about his friend?
Yes. And so I will tell you this. Well, first of all, I've had one woman creeper.
Oh, wow.
What's that like?
I didn't really understand what had happened until the end of the massage, and I was confused. It was like I had done a full body scrub on her. I was working at a spa. This was years ago. And she afterwards started rubbing her own breasts. Mm-hmm. Like at the end and talking about how wonderful that had been.
Do you ever shop at Target? Wow.
And
I was kind of like, oh, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed your massage. Thank you. Bye. And like ran out of the room. And then was just like in the break room. I was just like, oh my God.
She was getting worked up.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I exited immediately.
Oh, man. That's such a bizarre. You're by nature. Imagine your job is you're in with someone who's, you know, supposed to be under a sheet, but they're naked and you're having the physical contact, you know, and the stuff is going to occur.
Yeah. Veronica, how often do people fart while you're giving them a massage?
Not that often. often, actually. I mean, it does happen. And when it does, I make them feel better. I say, you're relaxing. I'm obviously doing my job well.
You know? Somebody texted in saying, Veronica, that people that are going to get a massage should make sure that they shower beforehand, that they they don't come in gross. I would imagine that's probably decent advice, right?
Absolutely. Two things on that. One, if it's right after like a sporting event, or I've done things during sporting events, like sweat, like just like hard won sweat, I don't mind. You know,
if it makes sense, if a guy is an accountant and he comes in profusely sweating, that's going to be disgusting.
Yes, that happens very rarely. But I will tell you this: hot towel cabinet, steamy hot towels with a few drops of essential oil. I wrap those on people's feet. If I do that at the beginning of your massage as opposed to the end, it means I'm doing it for myself.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Good to know. That's the type of thing I want to know. That's what I want to hear from these stories, or what are these little tricks and things that we don't know about, that you guys do to cope for things like that. So hot towel and a little essential oil beforehand on your feet. If they smell bad, that's a signal that you got stanky feet. Okay.
Veronica, I would imagine that you have a circle of friends that are or colleagues that are also massage therapists. Do you know if they have had similar experiences as you, and have they ever completed it?
Have they ever? Do you know anybody who actively picks up extra bonuses by doing happy endings?
No, I do not know anyone like that.
Okay.
And
can you look around for us?
we hear stories about other people, like, oh, did you hear that place or that place rumored or something? And we're usually like, nah. What I think it is people just like bragging rights, like teenagers and stuff, because I had a client at a place who was one of those like groin injury type people, always ignored him, always whatever. And he flashed me once and I was like, dude, we're done. But like the therapist that worked there after me, he tried to get her to do it by telling her things like, oh, Veronica gave a really sensual massage. And I was like, get the, you know.
Oh, so he thought he was going to make you jealous. Yeah,
right.
No way.
I had three testicles.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting. Well, I want to go to some other calls as well. Veronica, thank you so much for checking in. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, guys. I love listening to your show. You bring me joy every morning.
Thank you so much.
All right. And you bring joy yourself to a certain point.
We'll take some other calls. 215-263-WMMR. When you go to a therapist, do you care the sex of the person?
No.
Whoever gives the best massage.
I normally would. I used to prefer female therapists, but the two best massages I've ever been have ever gotten have been from guys.
Or male, yeah.
Yeah. The guy that currently at the chiropractic office I go to, you know what, I got it.
While you look that up, Sean at Joseph Anthony is the best massage I've ever gotten.
Okay,
and he. I mean, I will go to him every single time.
I've never actually gotten a massage from a guy. It's always been from women. And I for some reason, I do prefer that. I wouldn't freak if it was a guy doing it. I just would hope he would give me a happy ending as well.
Right. You can close your eyes. Now, I go to Inline Spine Chiropractic, and there's a guy named Alex there. And he's just one of these people that can find whatever the trouble is.
Yeah.
Even if it's like, dude, I didn't even say I was having trouble over there. And you have, you found the spot. And I walk out of there feeling better every
that's
single time.
That's the purpose.
That's a good massage therapist.
And then there was another guy named Ben I think his name is Ben. It's been a while. So I went to go see him at Hand and Stone because they you know, with COVID, they've been shut down for a while. Hand and Stone in Oaks. And he was another guy where I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
You found it.
What are you doing after this?
Yeah, what are you doing later on?
The guy likes
do you some do people happy endings are
really, really talented.
I will typically go to a female. I have gone to male massage therapists. I get them on a regular basis, and I prefer the female. It just makes me feel more comfortable.
Yeah, okay. Let me go to who was up next. All right, so Alyssa was on. Kathy, we're going to get to you in a second. Let me go to Alyssa. Hi, Alyssa. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. All right, now you are not a massage therapist, but your mother was?
Yeah, my mom was for a really long time.
Okay, and it says here she worked at a 55 and older community.
Yeah, so those kind of suburbia ones where all the houses are close together.
Yep.
And they have clubhouses.
Right.
Yeah. So she was the massage therapist there for years, and she would come. You always knew when she had a bad client because she'd come home huffing and puffing, and go straight to her room. But her massage room was situated between both the men and the women's locker rooms, so she heard everything.
Okay, what can you share with us that you recall?
So she had one guy. So like the previous caller, she was more medical based. They're older, so they have to give their medication. She had one guy. She always did the wife first and then him. He would make sure the wife would leave. And when he would go in, she would do the same thing, undress, under the covers, face down. He was always Burt Reynolds pose when she walked in.
Oh, my God.
Like
lying on his side.
Oh, no shame.
Head propped up on his elbow and his legs kind of spread. Oh, my God. So that was his little thing, huh?
Yes. I didn't learn about this till I was older because I was younger at the time. But, you know, eavesdropping, I would hear her just, you know, complaining to my dad. The blanket was just right above it. How do I handle that? And she would have to massage him. And then what made matters worse, he would always make a point to let her know that he had taken his Viagra that day.
Oh God.
No.
Wow. Yeah. Did she ever say anything to the community? Like, you know,
dude.
Put a lid on this guy.
Dude's got a boner.
They're in North Jersey, and as she would say, they're just New York people who don't care, not trying to put New York on blast. So she would prefer to keep, like, she would just massage them, obviously wouldn't do anything. But the communities there, they're so, like, gossipy that she wouldn't want her reputation
right.
to be put in any jeopardy. So.
Yes, okay. Yeah. Oh,
all right.
You have a massive erection.
That's, to me, that's when if I'm a massage therapist, you know, you would just have to just walk out. You'd have to leave, right? I mean, so did she ever say about massaging people and the occurrence of the arousal?
No.
Okay.
She never said anything like that. Like I said, when we asked her about it years later, she would roll her eyes. She'd be like, I definitely don't want to talk about that right now. He's very Catholic, but I would always hear my dad going, so you're telling me if I don't lay like that, you're not going to do anything either?
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
You're not helping.
No, he did not help the situation, but wow. It was just her stories now as I'm older, how everyone just kind of slept with each other and all of the men. And she said it was a time of her life where, one, she's at that age now. She will never, ever live in one of those communities. But
wow.
The men that, I guess because it's a different time, they just did expect things of her.
Okay.
Man.
Interesting. All right. Thank you, Alyssa. We appreciate the call.
There's a movie with Miles Teller and Jonah Hill where they become like arms dealers.
Yeah.
So in the beginning of the movie, Miles' character, which is based in real life, he is a massage therapist, and he is propositioned by men. Not women.
Yeah, that's true.
Why would
that happen?
At one point, the guy that he's massaging is slowly, like, lifting the towel, exposing himself. So I'm sure it happens on that end, too.
I need to go to Kathy. She's got to run. Hi, Kathy. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. So you've been a massage therapist for a number of years, right?
Yeah, for about 10 years.
Okay. And we're doing Confessions of a Massage Therapist. What do you want to share with us?
All right. So first off, to get to the cleanliness thing, I've had it to the point where people would come in and I would massage them and they'd be the nicest people ever, but literally chunks of dirt would come off their body and there would be crumbs on the table.
Ew.
Kathy, have you ever refused to
go get a shower?
Have you ever refused someone to because of their filthiness?
Yes, somebody actually warned me I should be wearing gloves, so I immediately went to my supervisor. I'm like, I'm not touching that.
Oh, God.
So they made them leave.
Kathy, let me ask you this, because this is something that I'm hyper aware of. I have psoriasis, so there are patches on my skin that have, Does that freak you out at all?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No.
Oh, good.
If there's certain skin issues, that shouldn't freak a massage therapist out. That's a whole other story because that's a whole medical thing.
So then, if we're confessing, then I have this thing where I pose like Burt Reynolds with an erection. Does that freak you out? No. What if a guy has a very hairy back or someone's really hairy? And I mean, what? I mean, you're a professional. You have to soldier on. But what's the one thing that you look at and you go, oh, no, I hate this?
Hair.
Okay, I thought.
Hair does kind of, like, skeeve me out. I will massage somebody. That's not a problem. I would remain professional the entire time. The only thing is you got to use some extra lotions or oils, whatever you're using, so that way your fingers don't get stuck in the hair and they rip it out.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine? That's something I could not do, like a super hairy back.
I needed money.
Yeah, no, I hear you. You got to do what you got
to
do.
I need to get paid.
Have you been propositioned?
Yes.
Okay, and how overt was it?
Not vocally. Well, actually, one time there was like some like 80-some-odd-year-old man that came into a spa. I just got back from break. My coworker warned me. She's like, you do not want this massage. I'm like, I'm up next. I'll take the hour massage, whatever. I need the money again because I was fully commissioned.
Right.
So I took the guy in the room, and he was drinking, you can tell. And he's like, I just want a seclusionist massage. I'm like, excuse me? He's like, you know, a seclusionist massage by a woman. Like, he was out of it. I'm like, sir, have you been drinking? He's like, yeah, hey, I had a few. I'm like, all right, so unfortunately, I can't work on you today. You're going to have to leave.
And what was he saying? I was missing that part. What was he actually specifically asking for?
He was asking for a seclusionist massage.
Seclusionist.
Like his, which was, I think, his lingo says, I want a seductive massage. I just think he got the word.
Seclusionist. I want a seclusionist. I want you to touch my testicles.
Yes, basically.
Yeah.
I just couldn't believe he had the audacity to do that because it was at the airport and the police station was literally 10 feet from the opening of the spa. I'm not naming names of the location.
Wow.
But, yeah. But at that same store, when I first started working there, I was there for about 4 years and I was still new to the massage industry. I was like, I'm like brand new. I'm like, okay, I'm energetic. I'm like, all right. I get an hour massage with a guy. I take him into the room and there's no issue. And I let him get changed. I'm like, all right, you can go ahead and get in between the sheets. And we would just ask them just to keep their bottom underwear on just so we have to skip that awkwardness.
You know,
try to not have that happen. And so I get back into the room. And well, before I actually go into the room, I'm at the front of the store just waiting for him, giving him a few minutes. And I hear this guy rip a fart. My coworker, he was Asian and his face turned red. I could not believe it. I'm like, do I really have to go in there? Ugh. I'm like, I'm going to give him a minute. So I'm like, all right. So I went in there. I'm like, all right, it doesn't stink. I wasn't trying to smell it, but I was just trying to like brace myself.
Oh my God.
I'm like, all right, it's I'm like, all right, it's not bad.
Oh my God.
So
dude, you should work with a minor bird in the office so that in case it passes out, you know you've reached a lethal level. That's horrendous.
Oh, it was bad. But so the massage goes basically well. So basically when he does flip over onto his back, I start massaging his legs. As I'm going up his legs, I use my fist a lot because it just, yeah. I think it's better coverage than using your thumbs. It saves your thumbs as well. So I would work my way up his legs, like from the knee up the thigh, and I would have him completely covered. But this guy made a heavy fleece blanket and sheet lift up in the air with his junk. And I'm like, no.
He got a Woody?
Yeah, and purposely, I know you guys can purposely make that move. I'm like, no, not always. I'm not. So I used to conduct an orchestra with it.
But that was years ago.
Awesome, thank you. I'm like, you can go ahead and get dressed and come on out when you're all set.
Wow.
So I immediately left the room. I'm like, ew.
ew gets it done, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I only had, like, one other person in there at the time, and same my Asian buddy who was working on somebody, and my manager was at the register, so I told him, I'm like, this guy's disgusting. I'm like, it didn't smell, but he still, like, got hard. I'm like, he's like, you just go in the front. I'll take care of him. I'm like, okay, and just wait for the next person. I'm like, okay. So I'm standing there looking out the front, and it's like, pretty quiet. You can hear the spa music. The airport wasn't too busy, and all of a sudden, you can hear this guy rip another fart so loud. My boss is like, you do not have to go in there. Let that air out. Give it 30 minutes. Like, he dirty. I'm like,
30 minutes. Realize that you're farting loud enough to be heard down a hallway.
It was horrible. And this guy, like, when he came out, he went immediately to the register and he kept his head down looking at his feet the entire time he left. I'm like, oh my God.
I just can't even comprehend that. Wow. I can't comprehend that.
Thank you, Kathy. We appreciate the stories. All right, take care.
All right, no problem.
You know what I find interesting is before you before they get started with the massage, they'll say, "All right, just change or you know, get down to your underwear and then get under the covers and come back. I'll come back in." And
yeah,
I'm always like, "What's the point? You're going to see me in my underwear anyway." Is the part of taking off the clothes?
Yeah, yeah. It makes you feel more comfortable that no one's there. You can kind of.
I guess.
Well, I guess it's different for women too, because your bra comes off. I'm not going to stand there with my.
I keep my bra.
You keep your bra.
Yeah, I do. I don't. I don't feel exposed like
because
that.
Because what I hate doing is it takes me like literally 10 seconds to get undressed, and then I go and get and I'm laying there for 3 or 4 minutes while I'm waiting. And I'm
are you like Frank Drebin in The Naked Gun, where you just pull on your tie and
the whole suit comes off? I can get undressed in split second.
When getting a massage, are you a moaner?
Oh my God! No. What? I would sure.
Well, sometimes you can't help it.
Jesus.
I may exhale or something like that when they hit a spot, but I don't go, oh.
I do sometimes.
Oh,
do you?
Really?
Oh, my God.
Oh, Nick, they hate you.
Listen, can't help it.
Rochelle got a massage one time. We were in Hawaii, and we hired two massage therapists to come to our resort, or is a place that we had rented anyhow.
Right.
And we were there with another couple, and so we got massages. And the dude, the therapist, the masseur, or whatever you want to call him, was like groaning while he was massaging her, like because he was using his body weight to lean in on her, like that. And so it freaked her out.
Oh man!
But Will, my buddy, had gotten a massage by the same guy, and he said, "Dude, he was doing the same thing to me. So don't feel like he was, you know, necessarily assaulting you." But like she was crying. I mean, like it upset her.
I think the massage is. I do the thing they probably hate, which I always feel self-conscious, and I'm always so honored that someone would take the time to touch me that I talk to them. I ask them about their.
I don't think they necessarily hate it. I think some people some massage therapists don't mind talking if the client wants to talk.
Oh, right. Yes.
Like, it's up to you.
I'm glad to talk. My wife, though, will do the thing, and sometimes when she gets hers, she'll fall asleep during it, and she feels like she's missed it.
Yeah. That's me.
Yeah. It's considered a compliment, though.
Yeah, yeah.
What, if you fall asleep?
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, no, Steve, I agree. And if I get a massage during the week, you know, and we've come into work, and, my alarm went off at 4:15, like, I forget, and I wake up, and I'm like, I
missed out.
It was good. Yeah. Thank you.
What was it like? It was great.
I've been to a therapist where they talk too much too.
Is it the same one, Nick, that we've been to?
It's just like
is it the one?
That, I'm trying to grow.
Yeah, we've all been.
We've all,
she won't shut up.
Yeah.
She talks the whole time.
It's a great massage.
And admit it. No, it ain't. and admits that she talks too much.
Yeah. I just I would stop talking.
Me too.
I would stop answoring.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Casey knows who you're talking about.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, pretend to snore. Yeah.
Anyway, by the way, question.
I'm trying to groan and this chick won't shut up.
In the world of porn, there is Nuru massage.
Did I see that? Does that
legit?
What is this?
Is that real?
What is it?
It's just a whole bunch of glumpy oil and they rub their
bodies. Rub their naked body on you, is what it is.
I saw Tosh got it.
Can you get that at the airport?
In some places, it might exist, and that's what I'm curious
about. I'm sure. Listen.
They do it on like a plastic air mattress.
So apparently in Japan, it's legit.
Okay.
But it's also been bastardized to be sexy and sexual.
Right.
Well, how could that be sexual, having a naked person rub on your body?
Yeah, with oil. Yeah.
All right. Hang
Why
on
do
on.
You always have to add sex to that?
I want to go to a couple more calls. We only have a little bit of time. I'm going to go to Barb next. Hey, Barb, Confessions of a Massage Therapist. Good morning.
Good morning.
How long have you been working in the industry?
15 years.
Okay. And what did you want to tell us?
So I had a client once who would come in. And while I would do his massage, he would get an erection, and he would make it jump every time I was up.
Make it jump.
Well, you might as well, right?
Yes. Once the massage
was hang on. Barb, we can't go to that level, okay?
He completed all over the place.
On American radio, we can't do that. Even the...
But we loved it.
Yeah.
Wait, and he left you to clean it up?
Yeah, well, they just got thrown away in the trash, but yes.
Oh, my God. That's just disgusting.
Before he made it jump, did he say, hey, watch this?
No, he was completely quiet, but...
Barb, so is that the worst it got for you, or have you had other similar to that?
No, I mean, I've had clients who would send me flowers and stuff like that.
Oh, dear.
Awkward,
I bet you a lot of dudes who will get that done think that's an entree to, like when guys, I mean, I'm not comparing massage therapists to, strippers, but I'm saying, oh, there was a little bit more there. That massage seemed a little bit too, you know, I'm sure I have a shot with this person. Did you have that happen with you guys who felt a little too attached to you, or women?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Guys who, like, because who are regular clients who began, you know, who wanted to carry it outside the facility and date you or ask you out.
Yes, yeah, they I've had that happen. Yeah, they leave their numbers on the table or...
next to their used tissues.
And at that point, do you not take any more appointments with them?
No, I stopped seeing them.
Yeah, yeah, that's a smart move.
The way you gotta do it. Wow.
Wow.
That's a hell of a story, Barb. I'm glad you called in.
Yeah, that's good.
Thanks for your call.
Could you imagine that?
Could you? The audacity. We're such pigs.
One little movement and I changed my career.
That's it. I'm getting into radio.
Jackie's been at it for 18 years. Hi, Jackie. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. We're doing Confessions of a Massage Therapist. What did you want to tell us?
I have a couple good stories, but okay. I think the best one was I worked for a spa during the summer and was down the shore. And I had an 81-year-old man. Came like a nice gentleman, brought him into the room, explained to get underneath the blanket and dress down to your comfortability level. Bottom undergarments are optional to comfortability. So the gentleman says, okay, great. He says, thank you very much. I've gotten a lot of massages in my lifetime. I said, yeah, okay, great. So I'm going to have you start face up. So come in the room, open the door, start massaging. He starts moaning. Let it go. He's 81 years old.
Yeah. It could just be wheezing.
So I get to the leg and
hang on a second here. Hang on. We have to watch our language, gang, when we're talking about the genital area. So you can just say he gets aroused, yeah. Okay?
And he started mooning a little bit more. Uh-huh. And he goes, you can go a little higher. And I'm like, we only go to a certain area. Right. You're properly draped. You're fine. So I flip him over and he goes, and I'm working on his thigh, his IT band, his hamstring. He grabs my hand and puts my hand right on his.
On it. Jump. Yeah. Oh, no. Okay.
I said, sir, massage is now ended. I'm going to leave the room. I'm going to have you get dressed, and I will have a manager waiting outside the door for you.
Yeah.
And he goes, why? What's wrong?
Oh, Jesus. You know, technically, you could call the cops.
Yes, Jackie. You could, yeah. Right?
You know?
So I'm like, just disgusted at this. So I go in and tell my manager, we knock on the door, he's not coming out. Knock on the door and he goes, give me a minute. And manager says, no, you have to come out of the room now, sir. You know, or
he's doing the same thing the last caller guy did. Oh my God.
He leaves the room, she says, you know, just please get out of our facility right now.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, I don't understand what I did wrong. Isn't this like a massage spa?
So, yes.
So I said, yes, technically, but we are a legitimate business, and we don't do any funny things in here.
Yeah.
And he goes, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't do anything wrong. Manager says, you need to go. In the meantime, I'm in my room, grab the sheets, and they're a little wet.
That's what he was doing that took a while.
What the deal is you the profession is you're right you, and it's one of the rare professions where you have one that can be legit as Preston's going to his chiropractor and getting a therapeutic massage, but massage is also in the name of a massage parlor, which a lot of people will associate with what he was asking you to do. It seems like the old guys have the same play all the time, right?
And his wife paid for the massage.
Wow. She didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah. Some of the old guys feel that they're old. And
I'm going to be dead soon.
They're just going to go grab it.
So we got to, I just got to.
All right, Jackie, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
I got a message from.
Thank you.
I believe the one girl who called in who said her mom was a therapist at a 55 plus community. She said she got a little bit more story about the guy who would pose like Burt Reynolds.
Yeah. Right.
She said, I got frustrated because he wouldn't stop. And this is what the mother ended up doing. So I set up their appointments back to back. I told the wife that it would be funny if she went in and pretended to be me. Because I knew what she would see when she went in, and and it worked. She went in, and all you heard was the guy's name. What the F, you know, Bob?
Yeah.
What the F? Oh. And then he never came back to her again.
That's great.
Hey, I want to go to just one more call because we know this gal. This is Kasha from Hand and Stone, who's been here many times. Love Kasha, how you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful. So we're going to wrap up with you. What did you want to share with us from your industry?
I was just going to say that there's really not much at this point that grosses me out. I feel like we've pretty much seen everything. And if you're going to be in this line of profession, like, you're trained and you know what to expect. But the one thing that really just skews me out, and I don't know why, but you always know when summer is coming or when summer has arrived, because the second that client gets on your table and you put the gel or the lotion on their back, and from the sunburn, all of their skin just like
peels. Especially if they've been burned and it's all peeling off. Yeah,
it's disgusting.
Yeah, I don't know why, but it just like, it can, like, there's not much you can do except like go wash your hands and then go back at it and then get more of it off. And then...
All right, Kasha, I'm going to ask this because it's probably something that I've always wanted to ask. Has he ever had somebody get off the massage table and leave skid marks?
God. Not skid marks. I've had somebody urinate before.
No.
Oh, God. What? Why?
How about?
Yeah, well, she was like, she was elderly, and like, you feel bad for these people, but like, yeah, so I've had somebody do that. I've had people who literally look like they've walked around their garden before they came in and had like just black soil all over their feet.
Oh, my God.
How about, regard. Have you ever had zits pop while you're.
Oh, gross.
Oh,
come on, man.
I've removed moles like by accident.
By accident. My God.
Yeah, like you slide your hand down their back, and then like, because you can't get to your back. So
right.
There's people who are moving stuff around back there that usually don't get moved around, and yeah, I've had like pimples pop. Like that's just like a normal, it's a normal thing.
It's what you guys deal with.
Have you ever noticed something that you thought was like medically they should be aware of that they couldn't see on their body?
Yes, I have. And I, in that case, usually just kind of let them know. Like, do you know that there's? I had somebody who had like a. Like a blotchy spot on their back, and you just kind of want to let them know that there's something there. Like, are you aware?
Sure.
Like, I had no idea that was back there. So,
jeez.
I'm not a doctor, but yeah, you definitely want to let them know if there's something going on.
Well, you're a fantastic massage therapist, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, you guys are awesome.
Very cool.
Excellent.
And I miss you guys.
We miss you too.
Yeah, you
someday
too.
We'll have you guys back in the studio. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right, Kasha, have a good one. Okay.
Thanks. You too. Bye.
All right. Thank you. All right. Well, there you go. Confessions of a massage therapist.
It picked up a head of steam, and then we were rolling like nobody's business. I'll tell you this, just a word of advice. You know how you brush your teeth before you go to the dentist? Take a shower before you...
Clean up a little bit, if you would, please. Thanks for your calls. We appreciate it. And you know what? Sometime in the near future, we'll pick another profession, and we'll do that once again.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. Is Adam Ferrara going to be joining
us? Yeah, he's going to call us back in a couple minutes.
All right, we shall return with him as he's got an appearance coming up tomorrow night at Soul Joel's in Royers Ford. Stay there. We'll be right back.
Hit up the WMMR.com contest page for your chance to win the Bud Light Platinum Seltzer Homegate Kickoff Prize Pack, including a $100 Primo Hoagies gift card, a four-pack of custom pint glasses, a case of Bud Light Platinum, and more. All delivered personally by members of the Preston and Steve Show. WMMR.com. Everything that rocks.
Our good friend on the phone line is going to be performing in our area tomorrow night, 6 p.m. show at Soul Joel's Comedy Club Outdoor Amphitheater. That's in ROFO, Royers Ford, PA. So let's welcome him, ladies and gentlemen, Adam Ferrara.
Hey!
Good morning,
How
Adam.
Are you guys?
We're good. We're good, bud. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I just want a quick shout out to my massage therapist for finding the mole on my back.
You never knew you had that, did you?
I was on hold. I was listening, and she goes, "You know, I find all kind of, you know, like a knife." I'm like, "Wow! Did you know this was sticking out of your ribs?" I'm like, "Wow! What?" I am just when I get a massage, first of all, I'm terrified because I take a shower, I cut the toenails, I brush the teeth.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you want to straighten up the front room if you're going to have company.
Sure.
You know, you got to make it look nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's absolutely true. And I don't understand. I mean, to hear somebody is going like filthy. Let me ask you. You're a well-traveled man. Have you?
Yes, I am.
Have you ever used a massage therapist or gone to someone to provide extracurricular activity? You're a good-looking guy. I don't think you'd ever need that, but have you?
What you mean, going for the full ride?
For the full
happy ending.
I've never done that.
No,
I've never gone to someone who unfortunately came to this country in a shipping container forced to rub old men.
I was surprised to learn in a survey how many people have availed themselves of that. To me, it seems like such a depressing step in life where you're, as you said, paying somebody who's just living in a back room to take care of you. There are other things.
It's like, I remember I was 18 years old and my buddy was getting married. We snuck into, we didn't have to sneak it. At 18, at that time in New York, you can go to a strip club. So we went to a strip club for this make-believe, you know, this makeshift, like, bachelor party we had. And I felt so bad for the stripper because she was like my age. I was a kid.
Yeah.
Sitting on this old guy's lap. And apparently there's an old church lady that lives in my head because I was like, baby, you don't know that man.
Yeah, yeah, no, I can see that. It does make you feel bad. Sometimes all of the trappings of the bachelor party, to me, are sort of depressing a lot of times. Mm. So, you know, my brothers-in-law and I went bowling, you know, and that was my bachelor party. It just not in the cards. But
my bachelor party was I watched the Jets and San Diego on Monday Night Football, and I got married on Tuesday.
There you go. Yeah,
that's right. Now.
And you know, you didn't do something that would actually ruin the marriage that night. So a lot of times that happens. That used to be the thing. And I remember as I was, as I was engaged, I was getting ready to get married. Mm-hmm. Guys would say to me, "Hey, you're gonna, you know, like get one last one in," and I'm like, "No, no, no, you're missing the point. I committed to this woman. You know, this isn't."
Yeah. It's not like I'm Ray Liotta taking pills in the back of the car that might take me to jail.
Right. Exactly.
This lady to spend her life with me.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually committed. I'm not half-assing this. I'm really down for this. Mm-hmm. So how have you been during all of this? I know we've talked to you.
Yeah, I've been okay. You know, we're humming along. I got, I'm so happy. Tomorrow night, I'm at Soul. We have a tent, too. Joel just texted me, so we have a tent tomorrow night. For the gig, so I'm
nice.
So glad just to get out of that. Because my wife, I'll be honest with you fellas, my wife's got tired of playing the game called "Honey, is this funny?"
That gets old quick, doesn't it?
Oh God, I'm going and everyone's really respectful here in California, so I'm walking out. But this actually happened to me. I was in the supermarket because that's where I go. I go for my save my marriage walk. I go to the supermarket. And I got my mask on, and I burped in my mask yesterday. Yeah, and I had a tuna fish sandwich for lunch.
Oh,
so,
it was terrible. I was sitting there, and the it felt like someone slapped me in the eyes with a dead fish.
Oh.
It was like it was all dried up. So I'm trying to get the fluid back in my eyes, and I'm blinking like a geisha. I'm just sitting there. I'm just sitting there going, it's a massage.
Oh, wow.
Little things we're finding out.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey.
Good.
Yeah, I was going to ask. I was going to switch gears, but if you got more to say, certainly dive in. But I was
gonna... The story doesn't end well.
Okay. Listen, I was going to ask about your podcast show because you've had some great guests on. I was just looking at a teaser of one, or at least you had on Instagram with Nathan Lane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love Nathan Lane. And did you know him before you did the sit down, or was this the first time you guys interacted with each other?
No, it was, and I was very nervous on that one because I'm a huge fan. I did a movie with Andrea Martin, and Andrea's friends with Nathan. So, you know, when you do a movie, you're together a lot. So we're sitting down, we're talking. She goes, I'm so glad I took this gig. My friend loves you. I said, oh, that's so sweet. What's your friend's name? She said, Nathan Lane. And I fell out of the chair.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Out of the chair. So when I'm doing when I'm putting my guest list together, I texted Andrea. I go, do you think? She goes, here's his email. Call him. He emailed me right back. He was like, when? And I went, how's next week? Perfect. And it was great. And I was so nervous talking to him. Here's the thing about doing the things, like, you talk to these, you have a reason to reach out to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like it's not like, hi, I'm a fan. Can I ask you questions? This is actually a reason to reach out and connect with old friends. I had Ralph Macchio. We did a movie together right before he started Cobra Kai. So,
which, by the way, we're all huge, huge fans of Cobra Kai.
Yeah?
Loved it. Yes,
it's great. The best thing about it, because you know I knew him, so we caught up a little bit. We laughed, and then what he was just starting that. Movie we shot was called Lost Cat Corona with Paul Sorvino, me, Ralph, and so we're together a lot. And he said, you know, I'm going to start this thing, Cobra Kai. And it took him a while to revisit The Karate Kid because he's like, you know, I didn't want it to be a money grab. I didn't just want to do other ideas because people have approached him before about it. Mm-hmm. And he said, this one felt right, and it's a monster hit. So people
yes.
are really, really loving it. So I'm glad you guys like it.
Yeah.
So he told a great story about my cousin Vinny. I asked about my cousin Vinny. He said, yeah, because that was at a time in my career when, you know, you get hot, you get cold.
Yep.
And I got the gig. Pesci was already signed on. So then Ralph got the gig. And then I said, you guys work with Fred Gwynn. He goes, yeah. Joe didn't know. I remember talking to Joe about it. I said, he's great. Why don't we get him? He was like, because people got to think they're looking at Herman Munster. And Ralph said, are you kidding? They're looking at me. They're going to see The Karate Kid, and you're a gangster. We all need this film.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now they were all three awesome in it.
Yeah, and it gave, you know, it gave him that comedic angle, which he had not been explored before, you know. And so that was the deal. So we, you know, obviously you've done a lot of acting. You've done the stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. And then with the podcasting, though, that's, you know, you're with friends and there's a different skill set, and did you have to work up to your? I mean, you're a very personable guy, a conversationalist, but there's a different art to that. Did you find you took to it pretty easily?
Well, I kind of just you guys have helped me a great deal too. Radio has helped me a great deal too because it's a conversation. It's not like a performance, so it's and having someone else trying to get either stories or questions that other people might be interested and drive an interview was the structure of what I wanted to do. I had to learn and to shut up. I'm a comic. So I remember when I first started editing, when I used to edit the interviews, I went, man, I got to shut up. This isn't about me.
Yeah, it's one of the most painful things to do to listen back to air. Yeah. Like when I cut the promo for the day for the, you know, we'll do something just to advertise the show for the rest of the day on air. And you're listening to stuff and it's like, Jesus Christ. And, you know, we all will have those moments where would you just shut up, where we're thinking of ourselves and trying to cut to it. But I mean, dealing with your friends, who's your big get guest? Who do you want? Who are you absolutely gunning for to get on the show?
I want to talk to the Pope. I got a lot
the
of
Pope?
Questions. I really do.
Did you work with him in any movies?
The Pope, yeah. Yeah. No, I want to talk to the Pope. I want to ask you about the car. I go, does it get hot in the bubble, Papa? It doesn't look like it's ventilated.
Yeah. That's right. No,
you know what it was? You set out to do stuff, and then, you know, the show takes on a life of its own, and people find, like, I interviewed Joe Buck. I had no idea I'd be talking to Joe Buck.
He was a good interview. We had him on the show.
Which is a tough thing to do in Philadelphia because the majority of the population can't stand him. But
people love to hate that guy.
They do. But we got an overwhelming response from people who are like, okay, giving Joe a chance now. He's actually a really good guy.
Yeah, once you talk to him, and one of the things I wanted to ask him about was the speech his father made after 9/11, because he gave the country permission to enjoy baseball again.
Right.
And Joe was very, very, very moved that I brought that up. And yeah, like the sports, like Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon from PTI both did an episode for me. I ended up talking to Richard Marx, who's friends with Ringo. Who knew that?
Wow.
He's like, yeah, he goes, I'm a kid. He goes, Ringo calls my house. He's like, hi, Rich, this is Rich. And I saved the message.
Absolutely.
You know what was cool about we had Richard Marx in the studio and he performed and here's the thing we love and we frame it this way. Richard Marx gets that he's Richard Marx. Like he doesn't take himself, he's an accomplished musician and so on and so forth, but you know, people who buy their own crap are annoying, but he gets where he falls in the entertainment realm and then he can just relax.
Yeah, he was he played on my show. He was sitting in his living room with a guitar over Zoom, and I go, can you play It Don't Mean Nothing? But yeah, and he's just picking up the guitar.
That's great.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's a lot of fun.
Adam, you've been doing some outdoor gigs like you're going to be doing tomorrow night at Soul Joel's. And how's that feel? I'm sure you got a feel for it now.
Yeah, it's good. Like this is nice because I'm talking to people and not cars. I was doing drive-in stuff before, which is where they blink the lights and they honk the horns. And it's like working oncoming traffic. But God, if I suck, they're going to hit the gas and just take me out.
Yeah.
So I did a couple of the drive-in ones where I was up on the screen. Which is, and boys, my mole looked like a ring. I hope this doesn't fall off during a massage. It'll hurt. If that mole fell off my face, it would sound like someone threw a wok down the stairs.
Let me tell you something. I think you need that mole. Who had their mole removed? And they just weren't the same. What, some entertainer. Was it Enrique Iglesias? Or,
I don't know.
What about one of the Nevilles had a huge...
Yeah, Aaron Neville.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that was tough. Aaron Neville was that was like a mini me.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. I think it's part of your character, you know? It's you got to have that. So we've had people, you know, we had Bert Kreischer come through and do the drive-in thing. It's I think it's a cool option that might exist in some variation after all this passes. But for the most part, have you done besides the outdoor stuff, some parts of the country are opened up. Have you been indoors?
Yeah, I just did the Mohegan Sun Casino last week. That was fun.
Are you a gambler? Do you dig going to a casino? You know, like that.
I lose a lot.
Yeah, okay.
It was funny because when we used to do the Rescue Me Comedy Tour, one of the first stops was the arena at Mohegan Sun.
Right.
And so I grew up in a family that, you know, they like to gamble. The people in my band. So we were opening the tour at Radio City because we were gonna premiere one of the episodes. So my name was up at Radio City. So I told my mom and dad, I said, "Pop, I'm going to be at Radio City." He goes, "Yeah, yeah. Your mother told me you're doing the Mohegan Sun. We're going to go to that one."
Not Radio City.
Not the legendary venue.
Yeah. I said, "But you're going to come to the show." He's like, "Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, unless I get on a rush, but I should be." No, I like the crap table. I like the sports book and the crap table. So I'll bet a ball game. And then, you know, it's halftime. I got time to throw the bones. So I'll find out which tables were working. I'll go back and I'll lose my money in two different places.
Do you do you do the online? Do you do the sports betting online?
No, I was actually one of the guys that still have a live bookie.
That's right. No, you mentioned that to us.
Yeah, I don't have any more. I still got a live guy, but did I tell you the story when I called him up, he was shaving points. I was like, "Give me the Jets in the over." He goes, "Okay, it's 3.5." I go, "The paper says it's 2.5." He goes, "Nah, it's 3.5." I go, "Well, I said, are you?" He goes, "Look, that's our policy." I go, "What policy? You're a criminal."
Yeah. What are the code of ethics? What, you know, by law, what are you supposed to do?
I said, "What are you doing, Pete?" He's like, "Don't use my name over an open line." I'm like, pay.
that's funny. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be the weather should be good for tomorrow night. It is going to be a little bit cool, so this might be the first show where steam is actually coming out of your mouth while you're up on stage.
That is fun. And we got a tent just in case there. So let your soul jolt. That's tomorrow night, and I'm doing another indoor gig. I'm at Helium in Indianapolis on the November 5th through the 7th, I think.
It's cool. It's all part of the process. Even they reduce the audience a little bit, but like Helium here, they do it right. And the outdoor gig at Soul Joel's is a good scenario as well. And people need to laugh, so you're an essential worker at this point.
Yeah, it was funny because in the casino they came out and go, "Thank you so much for being here." I said, "Are you kidding me? I did this without you guys and it sucked. I'm so glad you guys are here. Thank you so much."
Awesome. All right. Well, listen, it's tomorrow night, 6 p.m., Soul Joel's Comedy Club, Outdoor Amphitheater in Royersford, and you can get tickets at Adam's website, adamferrara.com, if you want to do that. And also the same place to find the podcast, Adam, at your website?
Yep. Okay. Yep, you can go right there. You can go to adamferrara.com. You can get tickets at souljoels.com. Always good to talk to you guys. Please stay safe, everybody. Okay?
You do the same. All right, thanks, buddy. Adam Ferrara, guys. Love him. He's the best.
He is.
Absolutely.
Like hanging out with a buddy.
Yep, most definitely. Hey, speaking of buddies, our buddy Marissa, well, she's on the phone with Adam right now wrapping things up, but she had mentioned something earlier this morning that she wanted to point out to us. It's I don't know if it's a quick thing or what, but something musical that you noticed, Marissa?
Yeah, so I found this podcast recently, and I am not a podcast person.
Right.
But I found one that finally caught my attention. It's from Chris DeMakes, who is the lead singer of Less Than Jake. And he has these artists on, and they break down a song. So he had, like, Rick Nielsen on, and they broke down Surrender by Cheap Trick. He's had Matt Skiba, John Feldy, Robin Wilson. They talked about Empire Records. I was really excited. So he had one with Mark Hoppus on, and they were breaking down the lyrics. And I've heard What's My Age Again?
Countless times.
100,000 times.
Right.
We all have. Mm-hmm. My mind was blown by a lyric in the song. So, Casey, I sent over two clips. If you guys play clip number one, it's going to start, and then I want you guys to just finish the lyric of the next two lines.
Okay. All right. If I remember, we'll try this. All right. So here we go.
Get ready to sing along.
I took her out.
It was a Friday night.
I said Friday.
Friday. I said it was a Saturday.
I'll start. It's Friday night, but then sing the next line too.
Okay.
Okay. Right. So remind
hang
about
on a second.
Oh,
yeah,
I don't know.
Hang in. Do it again.
I took her out.
It was a Friday night.
E-I-E-I-O.
Wait. I took her out. It was a Friday night. Something to get the feeling right.
All
right.
All right. Then just play the next clip. Because I think you still won't even realize what's being said.
Yes. Okay, here we go.
I took her out. It was a Friday night. I woke alone to get the feeling right.
Anybody
else?
That's what I heard. I walk alone.
Walk. I walk alone. My entire life.
I had woke alone.
I walk alone. I walk alone. It's I wore cologne.
I wore cologne.
What?
All right, let me hear that. Hang on.
No. I took her out. It was a Friday night. I woke alone.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
get the feeling right.
Yeah. Now that makes more sense.
She took off my pants. And then I turned on the TV. And that's about the time she walked away from me. Nobody likes you when you're 23.
What's my age again? What's my age again?
Wore cologne.
I wore cologne my entire life. I never thought that. And even on the podcast, Chris was like, I never knew that was the lyric. We've been singing it for 25, 30 years.
Yeah, because I walk alone to get the feeling right.
That would make sense, actually.
Yeah, right? Just go out and take a walk and get your mind straight.
Right,
and...
but saying it even in the most correct way, I walk alone. That nuance will get lost at that speed, and so it will sound like I walk alone.
No, see, I walk alone to me doesn't make sense.
I walk alone like to collect yourself before to get the feeling right, to kind of collect your mind.
And now, I wore cologne makes more sense, but mine was I woke alone to get the feeling right. That wouldn't make sense.
Right.
But
and that's when I put a hand towel on my junk.
Now you can't unhear
my junk.
I mean, that goes along with the song, too. That could have worked in there, too.
Okay. I love little moments like that. You know what I go through? I have, and I know, listen, and by the way, don't call in with your misheard lyrics because we've heard them all.
Yes.
You know, there's a bathroom on the right, blah, blah, blah. We know all that stuff. But I have sometimes there have been songs that I've sung for decades not knowing the lyrics and knowing that I don't know the lyrics and therefore singing whatever gibberish I do just because I can't figure out what they're saying. And I had been hesitant to go and find out what the actual lyrics are because maybe I'll be disappointed as to what it is when I find out.
I've done likewise because you've applied your own meaning and own emotional context to it.
But every time that I have gone through with that, I've never been disappointed.
Right. Oh. They always involve cologne.
I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
Cyndi Lauper, Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Right.
When they go, when the working day is done. I never knew that was when the working day is done.
Yeah.
I thought it was when in the world, blah, blah, they want to have fun. So I would just glance over with making noise.
And now you're like,
when the working world is done. Right? That makes sense. When the working day is done, I want to have some fun.
Yeah.
And another time, one of my all-time favorite songs ever is Benny and the Jets.
Well, the majority of those lyrics, I've never known what the hell they were. Yeah. And I eventually listened to them, like, oh, okay. And it didn't ruin it for me.
No, it's still...
I was happy to find out.
Yes, because it's still within the realm of what you perceived it being. It wasn't a song about, or, you know, raising chickens in your garage.
Yeah, I was hesitant because it might ruin the mystique for me. But no, it didn't change it at all. It's still a great song.
I went back to what I thought mine was. I found out the real words and then forgot it. But you guys remember I wear goggles when you are not near.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is it again?
My world crumbles when you are not near.
I wear goggles when you are not near.
Kathy, I was thinking about you. I was in Walmart.
What's with the
song
goggles?
Came in and I was thinking of you. I was thinking of that very thing.
Why are you wearing goggles?
Marissa?
Ed's not here.
I
had one the other day, and I'm so embarrassed because it's actually the name of the song that I never bothered to do. It's Fall Out Boy. Casey, play this clip that I just played.
Oh, we have another one. Okay, here we go. I don't know the song.
Okay. We'll see.
Ever thought it was this ain't a scene, it's a goddamn earthquake or nightmare or something like that. I just never bothered. It's this ain't a scene, it's an arms race.
No.
Oh, there you go.
That kind of ruins it for me.
go back to the beginning of it, Case. That's the title of the song?
Yeah, it's in the title. I play Music Choice on my TV and I looked over and I was like, wait, that's what he says?
And you knew that was the title of the song?
No.
Oh,
I
you did?
I just knew the song.
Okay, because
they're cutting out the God of goddamn. It's a damn, but he says, hey.
That's what makes it difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Interesting.
All right. Well, I didn't know that about the Blink song. I never picked up on that.
Yes. I this has nothing to do with what we were talking about, but I did want to take this moment to inform you guys. And you may or may not have noticed this. And if you didn't, and if you did and you didn't say anything, okay. But I've been wearing jeggings all morning long.
Oh, my God.
No.
Yeah.
Wait.
I went to
Let
CVS.
Me see. Get over
I
here.
Went to CVS last night, and I bought corduroy jeggings, and I've been wearing them all friggin' morning
Wait,
long,
I
and
noticed,
you guys haven't even
I noticed.
I noticed
that your pants were a little tight. So that's why I want to see them, because I don't think they...
But they're not tight around the ankles. So aren't jeggings usually tight around the ankles, Kath?
You're not wearing them as jeggings.
Well,
that's
so
the problem.
The I was worried that I was going to buy them...
Too small?
Too small. Because... And then I'm standing in the freaking aisle of CVS and...
Trying jeggings on.
No, you can't try them on because they're sealed, right? But I'm looking up the... Size chart, male to female equivalent, right?
Yeah, but so you're also dealing with pharmaceutical standards.
Right.
You should have called Jackie.
I should have.
Yeah.
But these are XL, right, or LXL. And then on the back it says basically size 12 to 18. So I'm like, okay, well, what is size? What is the waist equivalent of 12 to 18?
Right.
And it said that the waist equivalent was 32. And I'm like, well, I am well past 32. But and then I looked at the triple XLs, right? And I'm like, oh, I don't. These look maybe a little too. But they didn't have the style in triple XL that I wanted.
That you wanted, you
right?
Wanted
a, I wanted either
kills
corduroy
me that CVS
or a jean.
Carries triple XL, triple XL, because I guess they figure who's going to be buying pants in CVS.
I noticed your pants.
Well, this is America, so
yeah.
I noticed your pants, but they didn't throw me off because you like wearing comfortable pants.
Yeah,
I just
you like
this
corduroy.
Dude, these are so comfortable.
Are you going to start wearing?
I might have to, but these are super comfy. But the problem is they don't have front pockets. They only have back pockets.
Don't like that.
Yeah. No.
Do not like that.
I need front pockets.
Yeah.
But they do look like legitimate corduroys.
I know, right?
And how it's just much more comfortable than regular cords.
Yeah, you want to try them on?
No, it's okay.
Okay.
You want to smell them?
You don't want to smell. But yeah, so you guys didn't even notice. Maybe
I don't look at what you wear.
Yeah. I love wearing pajama pants, so that's similar to that. So
yeah, maybe these will be my lounging around the house.
Well,
jammy
I think
pants.
You need to go back and get the medium large instead of the large extra large, and then see how they wear them properly.
Maybe I will. And they were only $15.
Wait, you want them more skin tight on him?
Well, if he's going to wear them as leggings, he's not wearing leggings right now. He's got like. PJ pants on, like you said.
Yeah, no. But
your
they...
friend is a fashion consultant. Why don't you have her go with Casey to CVS?
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
They had all right. So in the in the triple XL ones, they didn't have corduroy or jeggings. They were straight up leggings. But they had it was like this black with flower print on it, and they had a matching top. And I was like, oh
That's
my god,
dreamy.
I should get both of these.
You should've.
And I'm glad. I'm glad I didn't. But I really wanted to wear like head to toe CVS clothes today, but they didn't have any tops that wouldn't have just screamed, CVS. Oh, you're wearing women's clothes right now.
Yeah. They didn't have any Delco hats.
Delco hats. Yeah. They only had like these flowy sort of female tops, nothing that I really could have gotten away
with. Yeah. Maybe like a glam rock thing for you might have worked.
Yeah. Right.
I loved your outfit when you went to vote the other night. I thought that was really cool. It was great.
Dude, and those...
What was that? I missed it.
So I was wearing North Face slippers. I was wearing these like terry cloth shorts that I basically wear to paint, right? So like I've worn them basically every time I've painted a room in my house. A Delco shirt and my Eagles hat. But the... I didn't know that I was going to be in a place where a whole bunch of people were. I thought I was just going to a box that I was going to drop this thing off at. And I thought it was going to be really, really easy. Those shorts, I had to walk with my hands in my pockets because they fall down. And I wasn't wearing any underwear, which I normally do wear underwear.
Wait a
but
minute.
What's that? Yeah.
We're wearing underwear?
Well, so
wait, I'm wearing pants that can fall down?
I was ready. Like, I was.
To just dart in and leave.
That's it. And also, I didn't know I was going there that night. I had gone for a jog and I came back and I took a shower. And so that was my. I'm hanging around the house.
Not going anywhere.
Don't want to.
These are my voting pants.
Don't want to dirty a pair of underpants. A lot of times, like when I shower, like I always wear underwear. But when I shower at night and I'm putting my clothes on, I'm like, well, I'm just going to have to take these underwears off. And
you had slippers on too.
I did. Do you sleep with underwear? Do you sleep naked?
No. I sleep with clothes on, but most of the time I don't sleep with underwear.
Well, you bring up a good point, which is the thing that I hate. We all hate it. So you're in your. I only wear this. I'll go outside if I have to take the garbage out. But this is not. These are not clothing I want to go out in.
Right.
And then something like an emergency happens.
Yeah. Right. Or you got to run an errand. Right. Or something
and
like that.
Son of a bitch. Yeah. And we don't have time.
I did. We did go to. We went to Dairy Queen the other night, and I just wore my pajamas.
Did you even get out of your car?
Oh no.
You drive through, right?
So that was fine.
Yeah.
How about a drive-thru? How about a ruling on a drive-thru?
You're not getting out.
All right.
But, dude, those North Face slippers that I'm wearing are the best. They are, like, I'm such a sucker for Instagram. Instagram ads. And that kept popping up on my Instagram. It probably popped up there, like, 10 times. And I'm like, okay, I'm just buying these. And there's another.
Yeah, at some point, you just have to buy it to make the ad go away.
And that really helps. And once you purchase, they'll never send another ad to you like that ever again.
Well, there's now this cardigan that I really want to buy, but I can't. It's like the website is like Doxo or something like that. I'm like, I don't trust this website, and I can't find the cardigan on like Amazon.
Yeah. And if you don't trust it, if your instinct says that, you probably shouldn't go ahead and buy that, purchase that.
Marissa's faux rock shirts that ended up being.
Wait, real quick. Right. Which Dairy Queen has a drive-thru, Preston?
All of them.
They do?
They should. Most of them do.
You live in Delco. Come to our Dairy Queen in Broomall. Well, actually, it's Springfield's, right in front of Sproul Lanes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Conchi has a drive-thru.
Mine's in Harleysville, so you're not going to drive all the way out there.
I'm not. But... Although I'll be in Quakertown tonight, so maybe I'll swing by on the way back.
Oh, yeah. Dude, they've got one in Quakertown that's got a freaking play set inside of it for kids. It's huge.
Exactly.
It's almost like three stories tall. It's unbelievable.
All right.
But that's kind of
best Dairy Queen ever.
Charlie Sheen's there all the time.
Frickin' drive through.
Remind me to not say frickin'.
Yeah, you can't. No.
Unless you want Charlie.
That's when Charlie Sheen to show up and talk about how frickin' awesome this Dairy Queen is.
This is pretty frickin' awesome. it was an email that received from an old friend of ours, Ed Pinka.
Yeah, we love Ed Pinka.
Ed Pinka is a record label rep, has been for a long time. And he, I guess he lives in Stamford, Connecticut now. And he said, I was at my local Stamford Acme today, and he saw the Preston and Steve cardboard cutouts there.
In Connecticut?
Yeah.
It was a great email. I'm going to add something to it, so keep going.
That's it.
Okay.
So thank you, Ed.
Yours truly, Ed Pinka.
I thought that was kind of cool.
It was a really odd confluence of events, synchronicity, if you will, yesterday. Maria Giacchino, who is Michael Giacchino's sister and helps manage a lot of what Michael does, texted me yesterday and said, Michael has a Christmas single that's coming out this year. We are looking for somebody to be our record rep. And the first person that I thought of was Ed Pinka. And I said, I know this guy, Ed Pinka. I have his contact information at work. I will send that to you. Then Bill's email came in. So I got an email with Ed Pinka's name in it.
Oh, no way.
And so this was an hour later. So now Ed Pinka might be representing Michael Giacchino.
There you go.
That's funny.
Really cool. Yeah. Wow. Speaking of Michael, his album goes on sale tomorrow.
Yes, and the vinyl is available now. I think you can purchase it.
I've ordered mine. It still hasn't come yet, but I'm looking forward to getting it.
Yeah, me too. So that is out tomorrow. And if you're a fan of Michael's music, then you're going to love this. This is his first solo album. We had him on for an entire show.
Yeah, this stuff sounded great. Ago.
Yep, so that is coming out tomorrow. The title of it is, hang on a second, Travelogue Volume 1.
Okay, the cover of this album looks very female genitalia.
It's supposed to be an eyeball case.
Okay.
Not a vagina.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor. Never become an optometrist.
Yeah. Remember, he told us about that.
I don't remember.
It's a freaking eye.
Yeah. Not a freaking vagina.
Not a freaking vagina. Unless you want to skull have someone.
Send him this audio, please. Okay. He'll appreciate that. All right. We need to take a break, but I do want to remind you, we are going to fire up the self-proclaimed experts contest again next week. So we're soliciting for people. The subject matter is the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the MCU. If you are an expert, and by that, if you think you're not just well-versed, that you can beat anybody else in a trivia round.
It's a point of pride that you bring up often, how much you know about the Marvel film universe.
Go to PresidentSteve.com, fill out the form. We'll see if we choose you. You got to sell us on it, okay? We're going to read those and find two people who we feel are the experts that we want to go head-to-head. And a lot of prizes and good stuff in store for you next week for that. All right, let's take a break. Come back in a second. We'll get to the, what are we doing next? Bizarre File?
Yes!
All right, we'll have them when we return. Stay there.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger, benefiting Phil Abundance.
It's the week before Thanksgiving. Starting Monday, November 16th, the gang will be camping out for an entire week at Xfinity Live in the Wells Fargo Center complex.
The dates aren't the only thing different about this year. The show will still go on inside the Bimbo Bakeries USA broadcast tent, but we can't have a studio audience.
We're emphasizing cash donations this year, both online at WMMR.com. And at your local Acme Market at the checkout register.
Non-perishable food donations can be accepted on site via our trunk-to-truck drive-through drop-off. Fueled by Pepsi.
Camp Out is not possible without the generosity of you and our partners.
Comcast Spectacor and the Philadelphia Flyers. Whitehorse RV Center. Cinch Propane Home Delivery. TRG Mid-Atlantic. Xfinity from Comcast and Mayfair Fence.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger from 93.3 WMMR. Putting Philly first.
Let's take one more run at the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, and this morning it is brought to you by HERS. For a true Philly game day, you got to break out the HERS. Enter the HERS Upgrade Your Home Gate contest at WMMR.com, and you can take your game day to the next level. HERS since 1946. All right, so I've mentioned the mask holes before, the people that freak out over the mask stuff.
Yes.
This one took it to a level we haven't seen yet. Two sisters are facing charges after prosecutors said they stabbed a store employee 27 times after being told to wear a mask inside a Chicago store. Jessica Hill, who is 21, and Jayla Hill, who is 18, both charged with attempted first-degree murder after allegedly stabbing a 42-year-old security guard at a store called Snipes, which is an athletic wear store. Officials said the stabbing happened after the women were told to wear masks and used store-provided hand sanitizer. Investigators say one of the women held the security guard down while the other one stabbed him repeatedly.
How many times did you say?
27 times.
And he survived.
He's alive
as of
now.
That's astonishing.
He's in critical condition.
Oh, my God.
So he's at Mount Sinai Hospital, and the sisters appeared in bond court Tuesday where their bond was denied. That's just...
By the way, it's
psycho.
Citywide rule that you have to be in the business to wear the mask. That wasn't the owner's fault.
Yeah, exactly. Don't expect to find coconut milk on Costco shelves on your next shopping trip. The retailer is the latest pledging not to stock coconut products from Thai suppliers who have been accused of using monkeys as forced labor.
What the
Costco follows Walgreens, Food Lion, Giant Food, and Stop and Shop, who also stopped stocking brands of coconut milk, including, and I'm going to mess up the pronunciation of this, but I think it's Chowco.
Chowco?
after PETA alleged that monkeys in Thailand are picking the coconuts.
Hey, hey, her, her, coconut milk has got to go.
PETA provided USA Today with a letter that Ken Kimball, Costco's vice president and general merchandise manager of corporate food and sundries, said had said we have ceased production from our supplier and owner of the brand. We will continue to monitor the implementation of the harvest policies.
Good question.
And once satisfied, we'll resume purchasing.
How exactly are the monkeys manufacturing this milk?
Well, I don't know. They're picking the coconuts.
They pick the coconuts?
Yeah, that's the thing. So the Thailand-based maker of Chowco coconut milk told USA Today that it has audited coconut plantations using a third party and shared a copy of the 14-page monkey-free coconut due diligence assessment.
So, have the monkeys ever attempted to unionize?
That's probably their biggest problem.
Is there a monkey Norma Ray?
The report says 64 farms out of 817 were randomly selected and did not find the use of monkey for coconut harvesting.
Huh.
Following the recent news about the use of monkey labor in Thailand's coconut industry, Chowco, one of the world's leaders in coconut milk production, reassured that, quote, we do not engage in the use of monkey labor.
What a scandal.
In our coconut plantation.
All right. So is there any other food or industry that they use? No, not monkeys, but like animal labor. Like, do they use dogs to dig up truffles?
They use pigs.
Well, all right.
But they might have dogs as well, yeah.
Well, all right. So from what I remember,
a dog can't be denied a job if it applies for a job that's been offered to pigs.
No, what I remember, and I might misremember, is that one of those animals eats them, right? So it might be pigs actually eat the truffles, so that's why they use dogs, because dogs will find the truffles but not eat them. Other way around.
I think so. At a certain point, are the monkeys just picking the coconuts naturally?
I don't have the information for you. I'm
perplexed.
Sorry. I do not know.
Because also, a lot of coffee beans are crapped out by simians, right?
I don't know, like, how they do that. Yeah, Kopi Luwak is the name of that coffee.
Yeah, that's not a lot of coffee. It's like one special brand.
It's very expensive.
It's super duper expensive.
Yeah.
Dogs are more popular choice these days for truffle hunting. And so, Casey, exactly what you were just talking about, pigs can destroy the crop. And so they now send in dogs in a lot of truffle hunting, especially in California.
There was a whole special on it, and that these dogs were finding like truffles that were worth like thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
It's a huge industry. Yeah,
absolutely. All I know...
Then the dogs are... So the pigs are out of work.
All I know is that monkeys are being exploited, and then this must stop. So, please.
I'm sick to death of this.
That's right.
Exploiting of our masses.
Monkey
uprise!
A woman is going... Now, I said earlier about this guy in Texas who had this Halloween display, which is just overly bloody. Here's a different story about a woman in Texas. She's going head-to-head with her homeowners association after complaints were filed over her inappropriate Halloween decorations that show skeletons dancing on poles. Angela Nava lives in a community in Richmond, Texas. She received a letter on Sunday saying that she has 30 days to remove the decorations.
I think it's hilarious, and it's skeletons. They're sans flesh.
Yeah. The letter said the decorations are offensively positioned. It's funny. I mean, people get bent out of shape about pole dancing.
Yeah.
However, it is an athletic competition as well.
It's an exercise, it's an athletic competition, and there's nothing that is suggestive about it. It's just the bones.
Yeah, well, they're not wearing clothes.
She said it's modeled after an adult club. We just really had a good time changing the scene up every night. Every night we change the positions of the skeletons, and it's really been a great creative outlet for me. Nava said the idea came up during the early stages of the pandemic. She said she hasn't had neighbors approach her with complaints. Nava said since Halloween is this weekend and falls before the Homeowner Association deadline, she's going to leave up her decorations in the yard.
Which house would you rather live next to, this one or the one with the safe on the guy's head crushed?
This one.
I don't care. They're both great.
They're both great.
They're both pretty awesome.
I couldn't look at the blood, I don't think, every day.
We have a neighbor that has posable skeletons in the trees in their front yard, and they change up the positions. It's pretty fun.
I like that.
I like it, yeah. That's a short one. I'm sorry, but that's all we have time for in the Bizarre File. We'll get to some more tomorrow. All right, we're going to break. We'll come back in a second. Lesson question, trash music news is coming up next.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals.
Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wow, it's 10:23.
What the hell?
I know. We've been letting this day get past us. We still got some things to do.
We're so reckless.
I want to get right to that. And so, therefore, we will do the lesson question for today. $60 Metro Diner gift certificate is what we are going to give away to you. So, let us go with this one. What did one of the bachelors from The Bachelorette call a thesaurus? 215-263-WMMR. He thought he was saying thesaurus, but he said something else. What was it? That was from the 6 o'clock hour this morning. We're going to find out if you were listening or not, because you'll have the correct answer if you were. 215-263-WMMR. We'll do the trash while you are calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's get some stories. What's happening this morning, Steve?
Well, Felicity Huffman apparently kept a journal while serving a sentence in prison for her part in the college admissions scandal. Huffman says she plans on turning it into a script for the worst prison movie ever made. In the latest preview for Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Khloe Kardashian reveals she contracted COVID-19 back in early March and is seen sick in bed. A delirious Khloe says, candidly reveals that producers asked her to get sick for the show, and also says we now have Caitlyn because Bruce lost a bet. So. And finally, Grey's Anatomy is heading into its 17th season, but Ellen Pompeo, who plays Meredith Grey, says she feels the time is right to retire the series. Pompeo says she would love for the show to go out on a high note and believes they will with a story arc involving a homicidal robot made out of bedpans.
Wow.
That's your Hollywood Trash.
All righty, let's see if somebody knows this. What did one of the bachelors call a thesaurus? 215-263-WMMR. First caller in was Eric, so I'm going to go to him. Hey, Eric, good morning.
Good morning.
You people. I love you, by the way. All right, Eric, what did the bachelor call a thesaurus?
Was it a T-Rex?
Yeah, Tyrannosaurus Rex. Yeah. Yeah. Hang on a second, Eric. We'll get the info, and we will get to you a $60 Metro Diner gift certificate. Amplify your next sports viewing party at home with help from your neighborhood Metro Diner, who have added meaty boneless and traditional wings to their menus alongside their latest game day packs that will feed the whole squad. It's available for takeout or delivery, and you can order online at metrodiner.com. Let's get to music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! If someone wants to yank a guy's prank, I say let him.
All right. A couple of stories to run past you. We'll begin with this one. Corey Taylor climbs to the top of Billboard's Mainstream Rock Songs Airplay chart with Black Eyes Blue. And this is his first number one hit as a solo artist. The feat also gives Corey Taylor a place in history as the first artist in active rock history to have a chart-topping hit with three separate acts. So Stone Sour, Slipknot, and a solo act.
That's pretty amazing.
That's big for him.
Something to be proud of.
Corey shared the news on social media, writing, thankful to be the first artist in active rock radio history to have a number one song with three separate bands. Black Eyes Blue, by the way, is included on Taylor's new solo album, CMFT, which was released earlier this month, debuted at number one on Billboard's current hard rock albums chart. Just released is the trailer for the definitive Frank Zappa documentary titled Zappa. According to Music Radar, the new film was produced with the full cooperation of the Zappa family and estate, which provided director Alex Winter.
Yes.
Of course, you know him from Bill and Ted. It allowed him unrestricted access to the Zappa family trust.
Zappa cool, man.
And all archival footage. The 129-minute Zappa is set for release on November 27th in select theaters and on-demand services. I am only a casual Zappa listener. I've only heard a few things here and there. I never really dove deep into it, but it's something that I've been planning on doing because he was an eclectic and an outstanding musician.
Yes,
as
he
far
was.
As his ability, his technical ability to play.
And his band was, too.
And to write. Well, yeah, he hired the most amazing musicians to play his stuff because it was so complex and progressive and avant-garde and all these wild things. So I really owe it to myself to go and listen to stuff. But it's interesting because it's unlike anything else. It's weird. It's not pop or rock.
It's
not jazz.
I always could sort of pick out who would be Zappa fans in school.
Yeah. So Winter said of the film, "This is the most ambitious project I've ever worked on. With a couple of years of archival preservation in addition to several years to make the film itself, this isn't your typical music doc, but rather a multifaceted narrative that aims to bring this complex artist to life." Magnolia, with its long and distinguished history of platforming great cinema, is the perfect home for Zappa, and I am ecstatic to be partnering with them. Is this going to be a theatrical? Okay, so it's, select theaters and on-demand services.
All right, there you go.
So that will be out November 27th, so that could be kind of cool.
Alex Winter does a great job when he does documentary work. Really good.
Jimmy Page took to social media to salute the 51st anniversary this week of 1969's Led Zeppelin II.
Did he write,
I didn't see the post, okay. So I don't know. But you know what I didn't know? He produced that album.
Did he?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
He posted, "It began with rehearsals at my home in Pangbourne and Whole Lot of Love and What Is and What Should Never Be were later recorded at London's Olympic Studio No. 1 with George Chiantz, who engineered the basic tracks on some guitar overdubs. This provided the foundation for the rest of the tracks to be recorded and overdubbed at various studios in America during our forthcoming tour."
Do you think Pangbourne is near Frogmore?
It's got to be right next to it.
It's got to be right next to it, right? Hop, skip, and a jump.
Page went on to write, "We recorded and overdubbed our way from West Coast to East Coast with our fueled energy. I did a lot of final mixes with Eddie Kramer at A&R Studios in New York. The hedonistic mix of Whole Lot of Love was to pioneer the radio success of the album." Led Zeppelin II was released on October 22nd, 1969. The album featured such instant classics as Whole Lot of Love, What Is and What Should Never Be, The Lemon Song, Thank You, Heartbreaker, Livin' Lovin' Maid, She's Just a Woman, Ramble On, Moby Dick, and Bring It On Home. That's a whole lot of big songs on that album right there.
He didn't write that, Steve, but on his Instagram account, we just did. So now the ass comment is on the Jimmy Page.
Way to go, Marissa.
Needs to be there.
Oh, you did that.
I did.
Way to go, McElwain. Let's see here. One last thing. Sting will release his duets collection on November 27th. A lot of stuff coming out on the 27th. The album, which also features the former Police Leaders instrumental collaborations, will be available on vinyl on December 18th. Duets features Sting's team-ups with the likes of Mary J. Blige, Herbie Hancock, Eric Clapton, Annie Lennox. A few people I'm not familiar with. Charles Aznavour.
Yeah, the French actor.
Okay, and Mylene Farmer. Shaggy, I know him, he'll be on there. Melody Gardot, Gashi, and more. Duets also includes the new, never-before-released song September, which pairs Sting with Italian icon Zucchero. So that is coming out on the 27th. And there you go. That is what I have in music news this morning. Marissa found out it's a big, big fan of the Preston Steve Show's birthday. So I'm going to give some love to Mr. Bob Havens. Bob is a super fan of the program and always puts in a real good showing at the Cardboard Classic. So
that's awesome.
Happy birthday to you, Bob. Delco Bob.
Delco!
All right. With that, we are going to take a break. We are coming back in just a moment, and we will get ready to wrap this thing up. Letter of the Day, Word of the Week, and Pierre Robert, all when we return.
The Preston and Steve Show Podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
A Thursday morning. Program coming to a close. Today has been a fun show. And thank you to all the massage therapists who called in this morning.
Some explosively. And I mean that as a double entendre. Interesting stuff.
Most definitely. So we'll have to do confessions of another time. And call out a group of workers to tell us the stories about what goes on behind the scenes. Also, thank you to Adam Ferrara.
Yeah. Great guy. Great show.
Yep.
Very funny.
Adam's going to be performing outdoors at Soul Joel's in Royersford tomorrow night. It's at 6 o'clock, and you can go to souljoelcomedyclub.com or adamferrara.com, and you get tickets to the show. So get out and join him because he is a great guy. And also a reminder that we are doing another self-proclaimed experts contest next week. And this time we are calling those who are in the expertise of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So that is just all things Marvel movies and not the TV shows, but
no,
just the movies.
Just the movies.
But chances are, if you're an expert in the movies, you probably know the TV shows too, but who knows?
We have a good idea.
But I mean, not just a fan. I mean, you know everything. So you can go to PrestonandSteve.com and you can fill out the form, get that to us, and then we'll pick a couple of people that we think are the right ones next week. We'll have them go head-to-head and see who ends up winning. I guess we need to do the letter of the day. Case, you're going to do it?
Yeah, I can do it.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter...
T as in Tommy Two-Tone.
That works. And we have Tom Petty.
I thought I should have said.
Wildflowers and all the rest. Super deluxe edition. A 5-CD limited edition set featuring 70 tracks, 9 unreleased songs, a hardbound book, and so much more. It's available now from Warner Records. Plus, we're going to give you a $100 gift card to the Woodstock Trading Company. For the finest rock and roll memorabilia, concert posters, shirts, psychedelic art, and more, you can visit the Woodstock Trading Company on Route 70 in Cherry Hill or woodstocktradeco.com for all of that information. Take a moment to thank our sponsors. The Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you by Acme Markets, fresh foods, local flavors. And also Hyundai City. It's one spooktacular month during October Auto Fest. You can shop hundreds of shocking deals at HyundaiCity.com. Tomorrow, no sad bro, it's Friday.
Yeah! I'm looking forward to that.
So officially, it's Friday now.
Yes.
By Casey's math, and I love that. But we will have a comedian Rodman joining us in the studio.
Oh, he's great.
Give away the Word of the Week prize. Any other prizes we have sitting around, we'll have a chance for you to win, and we'll get into some good stuff. That is it. We are done. So rage on and have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
So now Khloe Kardashian has COVID. Okay, Steve, hit us with it. How the f*** exactly did they get the bear tranquilized long enough to get the results?
Next message.
Hey, Anthony, you tire-changing son of a bitch. Happy birthday, man, from your little brother.
Next message.
Dear 2020. Message hold.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.